have six on my watch.
5:59.
I think that watch is behind by 30 seconds.
30 seconds.
Just use your phone.
Yeah, I'm just... T-Mobile's a little slow, Serge.
Hey.
Is it all part of
Here's
it?
It's meeting number two.
Okay, we're ready. Okay, I call this a special meeting of the Board of Trustees, and the date is December 3rd, 2012. The time is 6. Tony, please, can you call? Roll call.
Mr. Cardo?
Here.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Here.
Mr. Millian?
Here.
Mrs. Mendoza? Mrs. Quintana?
Here.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Present.
Mrs. Strauss?
Here.
And Tony, I was going to ask if we could please go into item 3, executive session. And the part that we would be discussing real quick is the consultation with legal counsel regarding internal audit progress.
Sure, the time is now 6:01 p.m. and the meeting is to be closed under Texas Government Code Section 551071 for consultation with legal counsel regarding internal audit progress.
Ready to? If you could just bring us back from executive session, the time is 6:39. Tony?
Yes, the time is now 6:39 p.m. and the meeting is reconvened into open session.
Just real quick, we're going to be asking that we place an item on for Thursday's an agenda item for Thursday's meeting. We'll be canceling the curriculum and the curriculum committee meeting. And if we could place an item on Thursday for an audit report, and if you could get with our legal counsel on that. And that will take us to the next. Is anything else? Okay.
This is a special board meeting on Thursday?
Correct. And that would be as soon as possible. Hopefully, so we could post it at 7. That will take us to the next agenda item, or that will take us back to the regular.
Item 2A, consider approval of 2012 annual district audited financials presented by external auditors. Mrs. Ajude.
Good evening, Board President Rodriguez, Board Members, Dr. Murphy. This evening we'll be presenting to you the annual financial and compliance report for the year ending June 30th, 2012. And with us this evening, we have representatives from GRP, Mr. Craig Gibson and Ms. Joanna Campos. And we do have a slide for you.
Thank you. Good evening. If we can go over the graphs real quick. I know we don't have a lot of time, but I think y'all are familiar with this information, so I just want to touch on the highlights and then please ask any questions. On this first graph, which is a comparison of the district revenue, you can see the 2012 is a little higher than the previous years. Now, as we go through these graphs, one thing to keep in mind is the fact that the previous year, 2011, was a 10-month year. So our comparisons are going to be a little skewed. So a lot of times it's going to be a better comparison to look at 2010. Because that was the last 12-month period. But in looking at the revenue, the blue section down here is the state revenue. You can see that increased there on your schedule even over the 2010. Now, that's a couple of reasons. We did increase the ADA. And also with your TRE, You increased your local rate, so the state also paid you more. Okay? Now, the next one, the gold section there in the middle, you're going to see a decline there. In 2010, we had 13.5 million, and now we have 10.7 million. This is our federal revenue. And this is what we're seeing across the board. Now, if you'll recall, a couple years ago, the stimulus package came out with all the ARRA grants. Okay? Those have a 2-year window. And so those have all but dropped off. But also, we're seeing regular federal grants reducing as well. So that's something to keep in mind when you're budgeting what some of the districts are looking at. They're just expecting like a 10% decrease in Fed funds, and they're contemplating how are we going to cover these services with the general fund, and whether we want to continue the same level of service, because then you affect your maintenance of effort requirements as well. So it's kind of a balancing game. Now the red section at the top represents the local revenue, and you see that went up two reasons. We had the increase in the tax rate. We went from $1.04 to $1.17, and then also a significant increase in the appraised values. Okay.
Can I ask a quick question? Just regarding that, I mean, we did have the RO funds that were coming in for those 2 years, and then we also passed a TRE. My understanding of the funding formula, which is pretty complicated, is the more amount of money when we start increasing our property tax base, the less we'll be getting from the state, depending on how it grows, whether it's through the average daily attendance or the amount of our tax base. So our tax base is growing faster than our ADA rate compared to Socorro, where their ADA is growing faster than their tax base. So it allows the state revenue. In other words, the fact that we passed a TRE is requiring the state to actually put in that dollar per dollar.
Right.
So are we going to actually see any difference in the future once our tax base grows, if it is compared to our ADA?
As you indicated, that calculation is very complicated. I can't give you an off-the-cuff answer
okay.
for that. But the situation that you had for the year that we're looking at, it did improve. It did help increase your state funding. And your ADA is increasing as well. You know better than I, but there's a graph in here that we'll look at that shows the ADA.
Okay, no problem.
If you want to look at that real quick, we can.
You could go ahead and proceed, and then we'll.
Okay. But your local and your state revenue were on track for the situation this district is in. The concern we have, which is similar to the other districts, is the federal funds are decreasing, and that's what I really want to bring your attention to, because the decision that you'll have to make is, do we want to continue the same level of service if those funds go down? That means we're going to have to pick it up in the general fund, which has other issues related to maintenance of effort down the road, because once you bring it in to the general fund, you have to maintain that same level of effort. Okay, so there's considerations there. The next graph's a comparison of the general fund expenditures. Now we start down at the bottom with the instruction. And what we need to do is the dark blue, there's also that light blue sliver just above it. That is funded by special revenue, and these were specific programs that allowed us to basically take money out of the, or take expenditures out of the general fund and fund them with special revenue. So for comparison purposes, we have to include those numbers. So if you look at 2010 and compare it to 2012, the total of the dark blue and the light blue is for 2010 is 27 million, for 2012 is 28 million. So that's right in line with the salary increases that we had. The yellow section is the instructional and school leadership. That's 21 and 23. And you see an increase from 2010 to 2012 of half a million. And that's, I believe we have the four furlough days that we had given back, as well as the increase across the board. The red section.
Not just it. I was looking at that right now from the three to the four, but it's the furlough days.
Right.
And
that was the big kick, was the four furloughs. The red section is the student support. That's our 30s, 31 through 36. And actually, you see a little decrease from 2010. So we looked at that, but we didn't find anything out of the ordinary. The green is the non-student support, and that's 51, 52, 53 functions, and that's the facilities, maintenance, the utilities, the data processing and security. And you see a little decrease there from 2010 as well. The gray section on the top is the admin. So this is function 41 and function 99. 41 is basically what goes on in this building, although there are some exceptions to that. It's like general administration. And then 99 is, and these numbers, I'm sorry, I should have, they're coming out of the financial statement, the bound financial statement, page 30. This is where all the different functions are listed out. So you can see what I'm talking about there. But function 99 is basically what we pay the city to collect our property taxes. Okay. So there's a little bit of an increase there, but it's still, it's right in line with the payroll increase.
Gibson, you mentioned in 2010 versus 2012, with 2011 being a bit of an anomaly.
Correct.
That the blue is basically due to the raise.
Right. Correct.
Do you see the same with the gray?
Yes.
Okay.
This next graph is something that a lot of the districts like to see, just so they can see how each dollar out of the general fund is being spent. And so we're kind of breaking it out. 57 cents out of every dollar goes directly to the classroom. 8 cents goes to the instructional and school leadership. The 18 cents is going to student support. And this includes your cafeteria services as well, which is a big chunk of that. 5 cents out of every dollar is spent on administration. And then 12 cents is on the indirect facilities, maintenance, and utilities, and so forth. This next graph is a comparison of the per pupil expenditures in the general fund and the per pupil state revenue. So basically what we're doing is, there on page 30, we're taking in that first column the state program revenue, which is second number, dividing it by the ADA to come up with what's on this red line. And looking at 2010, you see that's 5,082 is the state revenue. And for this year, it was 5,354. So this takes out the ADA fluctuation, and this is basically related to the PRE. Okay, so that increased. The blue bar represents the expenditure, and if you look at the total expenditure per student, it's actually $1 less than 2 years ago. So it's been right on target. I would think you'd be very pleased with that.
Through the chair, present. We were talking about this before. You remember that when we were going through our election, we were talking about that the state was going to cut, and there was going to be a floor, and that if we were able to pass the TRE, it would simply bring us back up to the level where we were. And notice, it brought us back up within $1 of the level where we were. But the red line shows that the effort, we're not getting any additional benefit from the TRE, but it did save us from a huge drop. And so we're grateful to the Canyon Teal community and for the campaign to be successful to keep us even, because we would have seen a huge drop had it not been successful.
That last slide you had up, was that bar, last bar supposed to be 2012?
Did I not change?
That's 2011 twice.
It is supposed to be 2012. Thank you. I made the same mistake on another district.
Sorry.
On the same graph. Sorry about that. This is the ADA graph, the red bars. So you can see from 2010 to 2012, we had about 170 increase. But actually, Canyon Teal has had nice steady growth. You haven't had an explosion, which that would really cause problems. Then you're scrambling to build new schools. You've had nice steady growth. So actually, I think this is the best situation.
That's about a 4% growth over that time.
Now this last graph is what I like to concentrate on. This is the general fund balance. So if we were a business, we would call it our retained earnings or owner's equity. So this is actually coming from page 26 out of the balance document. Now, what we're comparing here is the unassigned, which is the blue, and then the red is the committed or assigned or restricted. And so these numbers are coming from that bottom section, the first column there on page 26. So the 11 million there at the bottom is the blue. Okay, now the measure that we want to concentrate on is the number of days of expenditures that we have in the blue bar here. And the way we do that is we take the total general fund expenditures divided by the number of days in the year. And what we want to have is our target to have between 60 and 90 days in there. And if you look at the bottom there, the gray number, you see we have 84 days. So we are exactly where we want to be. We have room for fluctuation up or down, but this is exactly where we want to be. If we can maintain this for at least one more year, and preferably two or three, it will do wonders for your bond rating, because what they really like to see is the steady fund balance. They want between 2 and 3 months worth and that you've had it consistently for at least 3 years. So we're off to a really good start. But financially, the district looks very good. Okay?
We saw an increase, of course, both on the unassigned and the other, but is there a optimal policy when you look at the amount of other compared to unassigned that you should have?
No, there is no analysis of that. What the assigned or committed or restricted, now that has been pulled out for a specific purpose. In fact, we have $2 million is in food service, which that's restricted by the grantor. So that, you just totally forget about that. I think we have $900,000 in for construction of a cafeteria, $1.2 is reserved for debt service, $700 for equipment acquisition, and $600 for various other activities.
Should there be a percentage, you know how you have the 3 months?
There's not. It's whatever you
what's the best practice?
It's not a measure. That there is no best practice. In fact, I have one district that they have more in the red section than they do in the blue. And it's not a mark against them. It's just that the board has decided we're going to commit this money. I think they're building a new building.
Like, well, on an audit standpoint, I mean, there would be nothing wrong. But what I'm saying is, let's say, you know, if, and it's probably something we should ask our rating agencies and or our financial advisor when it comes to that. In other words, how much should we show it, so it shows a stability instead of us not dipping into fund balance?
I think that's where he referred to the 60 to 90 days, and we land on the 84 days. That's what their recommendation is as well.
And what I'm talking about is the difference from other to unassigned.
And I am not aware of any measurement between those two. The only measurement that I'm aware of is the days in unassigned.
And it reflects our policy.
Right.
Okay. That's all I have for that.
Now, we do have one finding, a very small finding having to do, it's in the very back of the financial statement, page 107, that has to do with the mandated program expenditures. We missed the mark by $48,000. On this one, this is a measurement that TEA averages over a 3-year period, but they've requested that if we have any shortage, they want it listed as a finding. If it were not for their specific request, we probably would not have put this as a finding, but TEA has asked that just be the policy. It's $48,000, but it is an average measurement over a 3-year period. And so what the district has to do is look at the current year requirement for the mandated program and spend $48,000 in addition to that in this year.
And then it'll level out.
Right.
Yeah. Over the next year.
Exactly. So it's not anything earth-shattering, but it's TEA's request that we handle it that way.
Is it just reporting, or is there some sort of repercussion if we don't meet that 50%?
Okay. The rule is that if you don't spend the money, they will ask for a refund. I've been doing this for over 30 years, auditing Texas school districts, and I have yet to see a refund requested. But TEA is short of money, so, you know, things could change. Yeah. So, but honestly, I have yet to see a request that type of a refund.
Does any members have any questions regarding the audit report? Ms. Quintana, I'm going to go from my right to my left. Ms. Searles?
Yes, I do. I have one question. I don't know what page it would be on, but this is in your document of November the 30th. And it's our state programs, and it looks like it's observation number six. In one instance, we noticed a student was still coded at risk, but had exited the at risk category actually in 09-10.
What you're referring to is the management letter, mm-hmm. which is the separate document.
Yeah.
And in testing the student coding, we just came across this, so we have a number of very immaterial comments in here, but we know the board at this district is very active, and so we wanted to share all of our findings with you, so that's why we've included this. How it occurred, I don't know if someone wants to respond to that.
The information I gathered, and we're referring to the state programs, and it's item number six. Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. The response that I did receive, I did communicate with both Ms. Gale, Lila Gale, who does mm-hmm. the PEAMS recording. She did communicate with the campus administrator and the individuals and responsible for the reporting of the information, and they did note it as an oversight. They did inform us that, and if I'll read the response, it says uh-huh. the district concurs with the point identified and understands of the importance of the oversight or avoidance. The student had been had graduated this past June, but of course the audit process included through June 30th. They have a PEAMS clearinghouse process, which actually started about 2 years ago. Yeah. And, they do have the process in place. However, it was an oversight.
I understand.
But I know that moving forward, they will be working with the PEAMS clearinghouse and definitely bring these points up to the individuals responsible for the coding so that they can move forward. The PEAMS clearinghouse the training is provided by Ms. Burgum. And then, of course, it involves counseling staff, it involves clerical staff, and they actually go through a process where they clear with you.
Right, and we also do audits. But, we don't, the only one we audit 100% is the pre-K's. Mm-hmm. And we have we've had no anomalies on the pre-K's. So I think what we might want to do, what we're thinking about doing next year, is maybe go into partial audit on the pre-K's and hit some of the at-risk coding a little bit more.
And so these would be population groups?
Yes.
Okay. And so there is a chance that they're, that's just human error then in the population groups and how they're accounted for?
Well, with this particular child, sometimes the kid, the student, can be coded at risk mm-hmm. 1 year and then not the next year. And what would have happened was, and this is, it's been a process getting everyone to understand how important this is, but we've made huge gains. But what it is, that this child has now graduated, but about 2 years ago, he had failed two or more subjects, so he put him into an at-risk category. Mm-hmm. Then, the last year he was here, the senior all of a sudden has to get going, I have to start, uh-huh. and he passed everything. They should have went back at that time and revisited the coding, but that's what, I believe that's what happened.
And I will add that the at-risk coding is closely, the process came into play back when Ms. Gonzalez was the compliance director, and this was also through the clearinghouse 2 years ago, because we had a variance in at-risk population, which triggered that, there's the blue form, the green form, and they have a process in place that is to assist us in these types of oversights. Unfortunately,
I understand.
It happened, but there is a process in place, and will definitely, be brought forward.
And this 13 indicators for at-risk. And so each child, and so, but I do think what we will do is we're going to use this as part of our training for next year.
Okay.
This whole thing, this whole page, we'll use, and then we're going to go through, and I'll show them in the PMSAT Plus, this is an example of it, and this is an example. But this is an example when it was coded right, this is an example when it was coded
okay.
wrong. So, yes.
Thank
we'll
you.
We'll use this exactly the way it was, and we'll use it as a teaching tool.
Okay. Thank you for clarifying that. That's all.
If I may, I just have one other comment on the management letter. We list all the prior year comments mm-hmm. and the status. And I don't know if you realized when you were reading, there was only one that continued over, and that has been dealt with subsequent to year end. So I would like to commend your folks. They worked really hard this past year to clear up a lot of these comments, and it was obvious.
Thank you. That really sounds wonderful, because I know we had some turbulent times, and it's nice to have the ship sailing smoothly. Thank you very much.
This is a much better audit. Only one major finding, and instead of 11 management notes, there's only 7. Last year we had 4 major findings and 11. Now we're 1 and 7, so we see it as a big gain, huge gain in our audit.
Was that it, Mr.?
That's it.
Mr. Medina, any questions?
Yes, on page 94 of your financials. Sorry. Is it the 2012 assessed appraisal value for school tax purposes, is that a final number for 2012? The $1.4 billion?
This is the number that was used for the previous tax assessment. We're talking school year mm-hmm. 2012, so this was actually previous year's assessment,
okay,
not the one that just came
not current
out. No,
okay. Okay, any ideas to what that's hitting at right now?
Gosh, I don't have that number. It's increased considerably. Mm-hmm. I don't have that number right at the top of my head, but I will share with you.
Thank you. That's it.
Okay. Ms. Gonzalez, any questions?
No.
Mr. Coronado, any questions?
No.
Thank you. Sorry for the wait, but sounds good, especially from the amount of management responses and the corrective action. So thank you all.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Now it'll take us to actually just a couple of questions. Mr. Gibson, just we're actually way ahead of it this time. The actual deadline for this to be
approved. The deadline was November 27th, and
oh, okay.
we have a 30-day grace period.
Okay.
So it's technically past due, but there is no penalty. So we'll get it submitted tomorrow. Y'all will sign the board certificate tonight, and we'll get it submitted tomorrow, and you'll be in good shape.
Okay, so we're in good shape when it came to the timeline. Okay.
Mr. Chair,
sorry,
I move to approve our 2012 annual district audited financials as presented by our external auditor.
And I'll second that.
Okay, I have a motion and a second, and I do have some discussion real quick.
I just have a comment. The secretary, who is Ms. Mendoza, needs to sign this, although Mr. Gibson is saying that someone in the secretary role can act instead of the secretary. So I don't know if the board wants to appoint someone.
Or
so
the vice president signed. Could sign.
Because it's the president and the secretary.
Correct.
So.
What do we need to change the secretary to vice president?
You can just mark through.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Just scratch through right underneath.
Is that okay? Do we need to add that in the motion?
No.
No? Okay. So is there any other discussion regarding the 2012 annual district audit financials as presented by our external auditors? No? Okay, and then I guess, can you pull the board?
Mr. Coronado?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mr. Medina?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Stiles?
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Martha, and your team for all your great work. I really appreciate it.
Thank you all.
Thanks, y'all.
Merry
Thank
Christmas. Happy New Year, too.
Yeah. That will take us to the next agenda item.
Item B, consider approval of E-rate request. And item B1 is E-rate year 16 priority 1 services, RFP 1302 for telecommunications.
I move to approve our E-rate requests.
I'll second that.
Number 1, 2, 3, and 4 as presented by Ms. Brigham and Dr. Alden.
And I'll second that.
Is there any questions or discussion regarding this agenda item? No? Okay.
Mr. Carlin?
I apologize, I just do have some point. Annette, how does it look for the following in terms of our E-rate for the school district, for the other school campuses in terms of?
Well, you know what, we've been, one of the things that we watch very closely every year that I'm always nervous about the economic disadvantage code. And what we're doing now is, and this is why, thank you very much, Ms. Rodriguez and Ms. Gonzalez, but let me present this tonight, is because we, now it's priority one that we are still going to probably be the main one we get funded for, but now it's like a rush for the time to who gets the application in. So what they're going to do is they're going to fund all the 90% first, but when they come to us to the 84%, we'll be at the top of the list. So that's what we wanted to do, and that's why, and when we saw the board meeting for December 18th, normally we don't even do this till January, but we had all the ducks that came in, we got the RFPs done early, Ron, you know, everybody just kind of pitched in, we got the stuff done early, so all of a sudden we said, oh, we might be able to get this done before the first of the year. So when this came, we just kind of jumped on it. So that's why we just, I have all the backup for, you know, committee meeting for you. So, but this is, so it looks like right now priority one is still going to be funded. But, you know, every time you read anything from the feds, you know, you hear different things. Now, but if you still look in your phone bill, you still see that money going to it. So it's still funded. So I do think we will get we're looking very much at getting that priority one.
All funding. Our phone bills went up a dollar.
Well, thank you.
So it's being funded even better.
Yeah. So and it's but so we got the reimbursement. We got 174 in reimbursement. And when you think of that, when you think of the phone bills, I mean, we're paying 16 cents on the dollar compared to a dollar. And so we just wanted to protect that. So why don't they jump on this board meeting?
Good job. That's all.
That's it, Mr. Corn. Mr. Medina?
On the school wires request, does that have the mobile portion, is it? Or is it just straight web hosting for traditional desktop?
Are you asking about a mobile interface for a mobile device like an iPhone or an Android?
Mobile device.
Yeah, there's a built-in component on the school wires portion. It actually will update simultaneously as it would with the regular website. Mm-hmm. So our expectation of this at this current moment is to have any update that would be live on the regular website would automatically update to a mobile.
So it's included in this original.
With this. It actually has a mobile calendar, mobile interface, number of different components that we felt was extremely important.
Good. Any other questions? No? Not? Can we pull the board?
Mr. Coronado?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mr. Medina?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Strauss?
Yes.
We want to thank you so much. We thank you so much for being flexible enough to let us get this done. We appreciate it. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, that will take us to the next agenda item. And actually, it'll take us to, we're going to skip the bond project manager till the end. If that's okay with the board, I'd like to go into interviewing for the RFQs. Is that okay? Yeah? Okay.
President, are we going to do it down off the dais?
Is that what that table was set up for? Okay.
Do we have questions?
Yeah. You have questions?
No, do we have questions?
Oh, yes, sir.
Yes, I gave you a board packet earlier today. Mm-hmm. It's on there. So should be a paper slip? Yes. Got all the questions in there. One question I want to ask you is, do you want to ask the questions? They have a copy of the questions. I can leave with them. They can just answer them. Or do you want each of you to maybe ask one of the questions of them?
Mm-hmm. Or how
do
you want to proceed?
There's only four questions. Or five. There's five questions.
So if the board wants to
Who would like to ask a question?
One of these.
You'll ask a question?
I'll ask.
Mr. Cornaro, will you ask a question?
Sure.
And then Lori, you'll ask a question.
There's
and
five of you.
Oh. Rachel, you want to ask a question? Okay. Then there's a five.
There's that five.
Well, there's that's one, two. Oh,
this
yeah.
Time? Yeah.
Okay, then we'll do that.
We are going to do RFQ 1307 for serving first because we did change the schedule so they got here earlier. So if you don't mind, we can do that one.
Okay.
The serving?
Yes.
Yeah.
Let's go to the. And just you want
here or?
Just real quick, we have the questions. Does anybody prefer a certain question, or can we just? Okay. If not, then I'll go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Tony,
or I'll do the last one.
Tony, hold time for 15 minutes.
Okay, and then we have. The evaluation summary worksheet, you want to
yes.
go over that real quick?
Your worksheet there is how you're going to score each one of them.
2 cents.
Each total should not exceed 100%. I actually gave a little guideline on there, the evaluation information for the board there. Talks a little bit about it. The weight cannot exceed 100. So like on the first item, I believe it's 35 points. So that's the maximum you can give on that line is 35. So that would be your number one choice, but the highest score will be your number one choice. The lower the score, the lower your qualifications.
Total of 35 for any one interviewee.
Right on the first line item. Second line item, each one, that's the weight you'll have to give them in all.
So I could go 35, 30, 25. Right. For.
Now, if you feel that they're all equal on one of the same on the same line item, you can give them all the same score, and that way you're actually remaining neutral on that line. So if it's like 5 points for safety, and you think they all meet the safety, you can just give them all 5 points.
Okay.
I have a question.
Go ahead, Mr. Cornell.
In part of the evaluation, not just the qualifications, but the, qualifications, we're not allowed with respect to local providers.
You can ask that as far as, let me get the.
You mean them being local or?
Yeah.
I thought that was something that we had.
I thought you had put that in policy with respect to.
That's in policy, but according to the Texas Government Code, we can only ask these questions like the quality of offered services.
We can take that into account.
Right, on their experience or reputation, you can add it on that one.
Right.
I don't understand.
So whichever one of those you want to fit into. 35,
but you okay. Having, let's say Frank was a 35, this one was a 34, then, or you could even do
okay,
35.
Okay, so the highest number should give us a 35.
Yes.
Out
the highest number would be a 35, right?
Right, on and the you first line would be 35 would be the highest score you give on the first
on the first line.
And the first line equals the first question? So
well,
question.
No, it's actually these questions come more from the RFP, what's in there, and then the questions are also like clarifying questions in there for the Matthews, wanted to clarify, so.
Would there be
I'm confused. When I look at this and I see the first line, the highest number I could give that person is a 35.
35, that's correct.
This next line, the highest is going to be a 20.
20, that's
and
correct.
So on.
Yes.
Those are going to be the top things.
So the
now, these are the questions we're going to ask them.
That's correct.
And when I ask question number one, where do I fill it in on the paper?
Well, you can either write it down underneath the question here. I left a little bit of space there for you under the questions.
Yeah.
You can maybe give a score that way.
But
could we not rank them?
You can just simply rank.
Right.
You can, instead of putting 35, 20, 5, 20, 20, you can put 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and just put your ranking. That would work too.
But how does it, I mean.
How do they relate?
To these questions.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm confused.
You got services, reputation,
right. The RFP was written towards the Texas Government Code.
Towards this?
This right here. That's all the answers they're going to actually give in their written presentation should answer all these questions.
But the answers to
these
aren't reflected in these.
This, right. Ms. Matthew wanted those
okay.
Just clarified.
What I was going to ask if I could do at the end of let's say, all the presentations, can I ask each individual what was their rank when it came to 1, 2, 3?
Yes, we can do that, and then we can go back, and I can assist you with showing you how to do this, how you come up with your rank.
Okay.
So I have extra copies of these, so if you make a mistake, we can do it. You can also write as little as you want. Oftentimes, I won't write a thing, and then just wait for the final ranking.
And you don't even have, well, depending, right? If you want to just rank at the end, then...
You sure can.
Yeah. Okay.
And remember, everyone, the HR rules, don't ask anything beyond the questions. Don't write any inappropriate comments on the sheets because they are open records available. And...
Okay. Let's head down there with the survey.
You'd be surprised. I'll go ahead and do a copy of the questions over the floor so I can see.
Okay.
Ron will get you some.
You need copies.
I got some.
Okay. Well, no, I need the surveying question.
You know what? You can get your own.
We're doing surveying first.
Thank you, Sergio.
So how mad is Kathy going to be when she sees your shirt?
They got me, Ken.
This is Letty's fault. Yours are stained with skin.
It's all her fault.
You should have seen. I have to clean it. It was.
Oh my God!
Oh
goodness!
Like,
and is that what's wrong with your beaker too?
I've done that so many times.
I swished it in the door.
I'm feeling sorry. Actually, a zombie bit me.
Okay.
No, it's
grown
cheese.
Just 1, 2, 3, 5, and then
what do you have? Mondo's suggesting that we go ahead and hear everybody's and then start doing this. So if you want, you might want to put like
some kind of
something to mark. Which ones you like? However you want to mark.
Good face, bad face.
We have everything right here. Are we ready to go?
We're ready. We're just waiting on Sergio to come back.
Okay.
We're running about an hour late. Okay, so.
Are they all here?
I think the first, all of them for survey should be here by now. So we're going to be running all an hour late. So I'll tell the ones that are out there they can go out and help us talk here. I told him you had to go into closed session for important information. I know this is a difficult one, so when we move past this and we can start building our school, that's what we're trying to do tonight, to get this out of the way.
Sure, thank you very much, sir.
Anybody else?
No, I'm not going to stay. I'm just going to...
Soda?
No, thank you.
No?
Anybody ready?
Tell him to go home. Nobody should stay. Except whoever's got a... Martha Carrasco has to stay.
It's a way to look at it.
They blew your heart out.
Should be worried.
Get away, zombie!
That zombie love story?
Yeah.
God. Called Warm Bodies?
I've seen previews.
Yeah, where a zombie comes back from being dead after he...
Put that down further so the board can be heard when they answer their questions.
I know.
I missed that one.
Because this will pick up.
They think of anything with zombies then.
Or do you want me to run it?
No, we'll just leave it in there.
Good. How are you doing? David Murphy, Superintendent. David Murphy, Superintendent. Thank you for that. I appreciate it. Mondo, do you want me to do the introductions? Or?
Yeah.
Okay. Gentlemen, what firm are you?
Regis & Associates. FXSA.
FXSA. Okay. Well, thank you for joining us. We have a 15-minute interview. This is not long. There's only five questions. They are in front of you, right there. There's a pad and a pen. We ask that you not write on the sheet that's taped down. Water's there for you, but you can write on the pad all you want if you want to tear off a piece of paper for each of you. We're going to give you, we appreciate you coming in. We know it's a strange hour, but the board does meet in the evening, and so we thank you. We're going to give you a couple minutes to study the five questions. You can take notes, and then when you give us the high sign, we will go ahead and start. We're going to ask the questions individually, one at a time. Individual trustees are going to ask the questions, and you'll have a 15-minute time limit, so try to pace yourself as you go through. And with that, we'll go around and we'll introduce.
I'm Ron Gatlin, the purchasing agent. I do want to say that the board does have a copy of all the proposals. They have looked at them. They're also using that information that was submitted also for their evaluation.
Hi, I'm Sergio Coronado. I'm a board member.
Armando Rodriguez, I'm the president.
Adrian Medina, board member.
Jackie Gonzalez, board member.
Rachel Quintana, board member.
Larry Searles, board member. Good evening.
And I'm Dr. Murphy, superintendent. Go ahead and take your time and look at them. If you want to jot down any notes, and let us know when you're ready to go. We'll look at your flyer while you do that.
Well, first of all, I want to thank you for allowing us to be here tonight and for our district. And we'll look forward to your questions here. Thank you.
Ready?
Yes, sir.
15 minutes.
We'll give you the high sign when you got 2 or 3 minutes left.
Gentlemen, we'd like to know, are you in good standing with the Texas Board of Professional Land Surveying? And could you, good standing, great standing, better standing, is there?
There's never been anything filed against our company ever. So they don't have any ratings.
Okay.
But we never have to file anything in complaints against us.
Okay. Thank you.
Will you be performing the majority of work with a field crew, or will the field crew be performing the work mostly independently? If a field crew is used, please describe the qualifications of the proposed members of the field crew and what the nature and extent of the professional surveyor will be.
Yes, ma'am. A survey crew never goes out of the field without the professional land surveyor first, along doing the requirements or record search for a boundary survey. And it depends on the type of work that you have us do. If it pertains to boundary surveys, a record search has to be conducted in order to do that, and then you prepare a working sketch, which is done between the RPLS, or the Registered Professional Land Surveyor, and a survey technician in the office. Once the working sketch is prepared, then we go out of the field, the RPLS gets them started, he gives some direction, and he goes out on the field on the first day. After they see what they've got, then the crew will stay there to continue on the work. Every day when the crew comes in, the RPLS checks the field notes and asks questions, and then verifies that the information they're bringing is correct. Prior to establishing any corners on the ground, the survey will go out there to administer that. And again, it depends on the type of work you're requesting. There is certain work, or say survey for design, that even though it doesn't require the RPLS in some cases, we still have him out there, because if there's anything to sign on, he has to be there, at least at the beginning of the project, maybe in the middle of the project, and at the end of the project. As far as the qualifications of our people, we have individuals that are party chiefs that have been with us for over 12 years, and as little as 8 years. So these are people that have been training under us, and we have, in our firm, we have three registered public land surveyors. And so we have the manager, the person that does the quality control, which is me, and I've been at it for 35 years. The next person, and if you look at your gold card here, between the people that will be working on the projects, we have over 215 years of experience in surveying. I don't know if that answers your question. That's how that's on the point. But the professional survey will always be involved. Again, it's very specific as to what we're going to do depending on what we're doing. Whether the surveyor RPLS will be there full time or not. But Council Congress, absolutely.
All right. Describe the process you employ in assembling the historical data on the property.
Well, I kind of said a while ago, if, for example, if the school district does not have a title commitment from a title company, then it will require us, and even then, when you have a title commitment, there's a need for the compressive surveyor to go out and procure records that may or may not be picked up by a title company that has to do with surveyor's field notes, or field notes, etc. We are lucky to have a registered surveyor by name Charlie Gutierrez that's been surveying here for a long, long time. And he's probably one of the best record searchers in the city, or in Casa County. And he's very, very thorough guy. We have people that we know in Austin, the general land office, that we call upon if we cannot find the records here. We also have a lot of archives that we have over years have kept, and we use them for that purpose.
Thank you.
But I would say that the process is to go through an abstract office and then to the courthouse and also to the CAB.
Will your company be employing GPS-based data collection? And if not, what type of equipment will be used? And if so, how is accuracy ensured?
We employ a fence again on the project that you're going to give us. There is certain work that can be done by GPS, and we try to do most of our work with GPS. We also are a member of the Trimble GPS or reference station network that's here in El Paso. As far as we know, we're the only surveying firm in El Paso that has a VRS, our reference station, at our office here in El Paso. And then there's, and I don't know if it's
ourselves.
And then PSB and the Lower Valley Water District and who else?
Textile.
Yes. And we also have one. We originally started in Pecos, and we have a reference station at our office in Pecos. And we've had it we were the first ones to put it on.
What this technology does is instead of having to have a base and a rover in order to do GPS surveys, that would probably take up 2 or 3 people just to take care of the equipment. So now with the VRS, you're in real time in a network that's always up online. And you can sort of one individual so you can become twice as much productive. And the accuracy is always online. You don't have to worry about that particular component because that's regulated by the network. So it's a very effective, it's a very related technology that we're using today.
All right. What it allows us to do is, if we did not have the reference station, then we would have to employ 2 separate units, one with a radio and the antenna, and the other one to use as a rover. So what we can do now, instead of using that unit and the radio to collect the data, we already have it in the network. So we got another piece of equipment to go out and use it at the same time and pick up data. As far as other instruments we have total stations, electronic sources, total stations, electronic levels that we incorporate on the work whenever it is not possible to use GPS. But there's, out in this area, there's hardly any time where you cannot use it. Like, for instance, under bridges, we have to go in with total stations because you don't get the receptions. In town where you're close to the buildings, you may have to use that. But for the most part, we can do everything with GPS. The other thing that's important with GPS, for you all to know, is there's people that know how to use GPS or how to operate it. And really the theory behind GPS and the importance of the datums that we use and the data that the district would want to use, the data that the city, the county, and other people use. And so a lot of times people think that once you have GPS, you've got it made, and that's not the case. You better know what you're doing or you're going to mess these things up.
All right. Thank you.
Last question is, we would like you to describe the most common challenges professional surveyors face when working together with owners, architects, and contractors.
I want to give you an answer that by a story that I was told by a person that first taught me how to survey, and I ended up buying the business from him. And he said, Frank, the hardest thing you're going to encounter is educating the public. And I really didn't know what he was telling me. But about a year later, I found out. It seems like the surveying profession is not very well known. It's kind of like the back sheet for the professionals. I'm both a professional engineer and I'm also an RPLS. And I told Victor, who was an engineer, he says, I really have a greater respect for the surveying profession than the engineering. Not that I don't respect engineering, but the surveying profession is something that when you make a mistake, you really don't find out about it until it's too late. Everything's been done. Property has been conveyed. People have spent money. You're done. You cannot afford that. In engineering, you do design. It goes to construction. Some of the errors are catched here in construction. There's time to take care of those things. In surveying, when you find out you made a mistake, it's too late. So as far as what is the not problem, but the challenges is having the owner or the client, the engineers, the architects, find out exactly what surveying is about and why it is that you need surveying. In the back of our trucks, we have a a sign, a little sign that shows what's on Mount Rushmore, where they have the faces of the presidents, and it says, three of these presidents were surveyors. And there was Washington, there was Jefferson, and there was Lincoln. So when people think of surveying, they look down when excellent the fathers of this country started by doing surveying. So, and nothing can get done. You cannot build them without survey. We've had not only to educate the public, but also other engineers, the architects, because they really do not look at this profession as what they should be looking at it. And some of it is our own fault, because some of our people do not present themselves as professionals. And we take great pride in that. Charlie, if anybody knows Charlie, he's an excellent person. He just lives to be surveying and to be right and to make the profession be better at all times. But I think the greatest challenge is to make people understand the fact that the survey profession is just as important or more important than anything else that you're going to be doing. The financing, everything else. You put that building in the wrong place. The other thing is utilities, finding utilities, et cetera, under the sewer, which is part of the scope of work. We do that in-house. I don't care, as far as we know, we're the only surveying firm, and engineering firm in El Paso that's certified to do that. If I may take this a little bit longer, we put out this to you. If you notice on number one, you asked and you're going to score us on the quality of our services. If you see below this, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers performance evaluation. We had two five-year contracts with them consecutive. This last ones we've had, these are tests that they score us on, and they're very tough. We started off with a satisfactory rating on four tests, and we climbed the ladder to 9 and 5. For 9, in very good and then exceptional, which is unknown. The next is experience and reputation. So you can read there what they have to say about us. And as far as the safety and record, we have not had an accident on the workplace at all. We do have a safety manual. We have weekly safety meetings. And we also confirm we have the OSHA confined space certifications that we have to use a lot in our work. As far as the proposal and personnel, you can see from the list that nobody there has less than 8 years of experience. For a total of over 215 years. As far as the financial capabilities, we're a company that's been around for 33 years over. You know, we've gone through the peaks and valleys and we're still here. We did then provide to you our financials, which are a part of the proposal. As far as we have maintained 10 to 50 employees over the years that we've been in service. We own all our vehicles and all our surveying equipment to equip a survey crews. And we have the necessary personnel in the office to back up our people.
President, can I ask a clarifying question? Based on number 5, the challenges, have you ever worked with Canyon TOISD before?
Yes, we have.
Can you explain that?
We work with them on the SAO Mountain Engineering side.
Yeah, we have not done survey work directly with regard to UISD, but we have done engineering work with regard to UISD. We helped the district to process 3 permits with the Texas TCQ, Texas, for the two of your wastewater treatment plants for the county.
And how recent was that?
The most recent one was last year, and then 5 years from that, we processed 2 more. So that's 3 projects.
We're now working on the project where the PSB is going to redirect your flow. The PSB picked us to do that work. So that's something else we're going to be doing. I'm sure that we've worked for some contractors taking out on some of your projects. The list of clients is long. I mean, the city, the county, we have contracts with the city, contracts with the county, UTEP, the University of Texas system, U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, IBWC.
Well, thank you for coming in.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. I had that "did you work for Canyon question on here. I don't know where
it's on the other one.
I know, and it was on both. I don't know. So, but it is tangential to number five. So we can just ask them all that one on number five.
Dr. Murphy, which one was the vendor that, not the vendor, the company that requested that they weren't invited?
Robert Kistner. That's in the next set. Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening.
Good evening. Damon Murphy, superintendent.
Good evening.
How are you doing?
And what firm are you with?
With Glenmark Survey.
Glenmark?
Landmark.
Landmark. Well, gentlemen, welcome. As I said, I'm Dr. Murphy, superintendent. And we appreciate you coming at the late hour. The board meets in the evenings, and that's simply why we do this. We are interviewing for district-wide surveying opportunities. And what we have is we have a timed interview, which is very regimented. We're going to take 15 minutes. The interview will only be 15 minutes. There are five questions, and they are in front of you, taped down right in front of the microphone. We ask that you not write on the sheet that's taped down, but there is a pad there, and you can feel free to write on it. We are going to give you 3 or 4 minutes to look over questions, make any notes that you'd like. We'll look over your stuff while you do that. And then we will ask the questions one at a time, as the board will ask the questions one at a time. And we will have a timer here, Mr. Gatlin. But before we start, I just want to introduce Mr. Gatlin.
Ron Gatlin, the purchasing agent. The board has your proposal in front of them. They're also using that as part of the evaluation, so it's not going to be just these questions, but they're also evaluating your answers on the RFP.
Okay. Serge?
Sergio Coronel, I'm a board member.
Armando Rodriguez, board member.
Adrian Medina, board member.
Leticia Gonzalez, board member.
Rachel Quintana, board member.
Good evening, Lauren Searles, board member.
So take a look at the questions, and we'll look at your stuff and let us know when you're ready. Thank you.
Everybody ready?
We'll give you a heads up when you have 2 or 3 minutes left.
Okay.
All right.
Gentlemen, is your surveyor in good standing with the Texas Board of Professional Land Survey?
Yes. Both are.
Thank you very much.
Will the professional surveyor be performing the majority of the work with the field crew, or will the field crew be performing the work mostly independently? If a field crew is used, please describe the qualifications of the proposed members of the field crew and what the nature and extent of the professional surveyor will be.
Well, the initial survey will plan the work to be done and visit the site, go over with the crew what they need to be done and visit the site periodically as needed, and supervise the crew when they come in at night and question them on how things went, review their data, and
the majority of the work will be in the RPLS will be working with the field crew. The field crew is in responsible charge, but the oversight is to the RPLS to make sure that there's the quality, that the project is staying on time.
All three of our party chiefs have over 10 years of experience, and they've done all these types of surveying before, and they're very competent. It has to be a element of trust built up between the professional surveyor and the party chief. You know, because we rely on them a lot sometimes. You know, and they can really make you or break you.
So we have 5 party chiefs that can be utilized at any time, and the first one, Gilbert Morales, has 25 years of experience. Pete Cervantes has 20 years of experience. Paul Severo has 10 years. Cedric Nakda has 15 years of experience. And it's in all types of surveying, boundary, topographic, flood certificates, just the whole gamut of surveying.
Number 3, describe the process you employ in assembling the historical data on the property.
Okay. First of all, the junior and senior properties are researched, not only the property that we're going to survey, but the adjoining properties. We take a look at the junior and senior property rights. We look at the original footsteps of the surveyor. We look at the intent of the parties involved. We apply the rules of dignity and the priority of calls. And we use the applicable statutory and case law of Texas. But once all of that data is gathered, not only from the courthouse, but from the different utility companies, all of that is compiled into a working sketch, and we give that to the party chief, and that is taken out in the field for an initial search. But it's real important to pay attention to what is senior, because the senior rights are going to determine what holds. So we look at that data and then apply it to the ground and find the corners that are of record value that will hold up in a court of law.
Thank you. Will your company be employing GPS-based data collection? And if not, what type of equipment will be used? And if so, how is accuracy ensured?
I will be using GPS whenever it's applicable, really. You know, GPS is not really applicable when you need a real high degree of vertical accuracy. You know, we still pull out the conventional level because of that 2.5 centimeter potential error that it may have. I think the GPS is great, you know, but you can't get up near next to buildings with it. It all depends on the job, what you're doing and everything. Horizontally, it's just as good as a gun, as an instrument. Actually, it's easier to operate, so the human error element is a little bit less than running a conventional instrument. So, but we'll use that and conventional, just the theodolites for total stations with the three-second accuracy on them. And as far as the accuracy is ensured in all of our survey, even GPS, we have redundant checks built into their field procedure that hopefully catches all the mistakes. You know, we all make mistakes, but the secret is catching them before you leave the field. So we have redundant checks, and we compile the data that the office and the field crews have their procedures, redundant checks built into them during the surveying to catch anything that might go wrong.
Last question. Describe the most common challenges professional surveys and surveyors face when working together with owners, architects, and contractors. And added to that is discuss any work experience you have with kind of dealing with these courts.
The challenges are always the three important things would be the cost, the delivery time, and the accuracy. And if those things, three things, can be met, then you have a pretty good operation going. It's always important to develop a scope of work. And this is just a sample scope of work that has been developed for such clients as TxDOT. We have been, for the last 10 years, we've had contracts with the Texas Department of Transportation and several civil engineers, architects, title companies. The school districts, Canutio, we have never worked for, but we've worked for the El Paso Independent School District on several projects. The Clint Independent School District. But the scope of services would begin with meeting with the Clint or the Canutio ISD personnel. Then we would go to an initial site visit, assess the traffic control safety issues. We would solicit team input and establish a project schedule, research field reconnaissance, and prepare right of entry requests. We would develop aerial mapping options or LIDAR, which is a scanner that is highly accurate and in some cases can be really valuable for in areas of complex topographic situations or conventional GPS, theodolite, total station, turning angles, shooting distances. Establishing the primary and secondary control, developing the sketches for the field, for the field party to perform the work. Then the actual data collection or the LIDAR or the aerial mapping, reducing the data in the office, preparing the 2D and 3D models, then preparing the parcel plats, legal descriptions, topographic maps, and performing QA, QC on all the documents, and then monumenting everything in the field, and everything to Texas Board of Land Surveying standards. And also, there's a book that we use a lot, the Texas Society of Professional Land Surveyors Manual of Practice, to ensure accuracy. But though, again, going back to my original point, the time of delivery, the cost, keeping the project within budget, and the accuracy.
Thank you. Well, thank you very much for coming in. We really appreciate it. I know it's an unusual hour. We appreciate it. We'll be making the decision shortly.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for your time. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Gentlemen, I appreciate you coming in.
Thank you very much for coming in.
Yeah, I'm sorry that I'm running a little bit on.
It's growing.
Do you have some type of fungus?
You should have left it like that.
I should have. I went and blotted it like that because it was just getting on my stomach, chest.
On yourself? You're gonna have this big blue.
Big blue over there.
Zombie. I'm just gonna call you Big Blue for now.
Big Blue.
Adrian.
How are you feeling? Feeling better? No meds?
Are we ready for next one?
Good.
Adrian.
Okay, Ron.
So distracting you. Keeps you distracted, right?
Yeah. Thank you.
Hi.
Hello, good evening.
Good evening.
Damon Murphy, Superintendent Canyon to you.
Memolico.
Nice to meet you. Seth Corona.
Memolico.
Damon Murphy, Superintendent Canyon to you. I'm sorry.
I think
we're going to
be like really thirsty.
You might want to use your coffee later.
Memolico.
You look really
nice. Have a seat. Good evening. What firm are you all with?
SLI Engineering.
SLI.
Welcome.
Have a seat. As I said, I'm Dr. Murphy. I'm the superintendent, and you have the board here in front of you. Tell you a little bit about what we're doing tonight. We're having a very short interview. It's only 15 minutes long. It's actually timed. There's five questions. They're right there taped on the sheet. We ask that you not write on the tape sheet, but we do provide pads you certainly can write on. You can answer however you want. One person can butt in on the other, whatever you want to do. And we will ask the questions one at a time. Board members will ask them. But before we get started, I want to formally introduce again Dr. Murphy, Superintendent.
Ron Gatlin, Purchasing Agent. I do want to let you know that the board does have a copy of your proposals. They're also going to use the information that you submitted with your proposal along with these questions to get their evaluation. Thank you.
Sergio Coronado, I'm a board member.
Armando Rodriguez, board president.
Peter Medina, board member.
Patricia Gonzalez, board member.
Rachel Quintana, board member.
Laurie Searles, board member.
So again, thank you. Take a few minutes, take a look at the questions, make some notes. Do you have any documents for us to look at or not? It's okay.
You know, you tell them not to.
It's
make
okay.
What I did, I just brought like sample of surveys that we do, and then if you've seen
it, okay, we can just pass them around.
You probably see the differences in quality. Okay.
Are they all the same or are they different?
They're different.
But it's a blank board.
Try it.
Sergio, you ready?
Ready.
All right, again, it's a 15-minute timed interview. You're on the clock. We're going to ask the questions one at a time, and we'll give you a little heads up when you got like 2 or 3 minutes left. Okay. Ms. Searle?
Good evening, gentlemen. Is your surveyor in good standing with the Texas Board of Professional Land Survey?
Yes.
Thank you.
And you can elaborate on that if you'd like.
Our license is expires on December 31st, 2013.
Thank you very much.
Will the professional surveyor be performing the majority of the work with the field crew, or will the field crew be performing the work mostly independently? If a field crew is used, please describe the qualifications of the proposed members of the field crew and what the nature and extent of the professional surveyor will be.
Well, when we prepare, when the owner gives us an order for a survey, what we do is the professional land surveyor will take the order, and then we'll do the research in our database. We have a large database in the office of the Middle East since 1971. So we prepare, we check the database to see if we have any benchmarks or any monuments that we can go by. We don't have that, then he will go to the county and get the data that we need. Then he brings it back to the office, and then he prepares the data for the survey crew before he sends it. Now, in the field, the survey crew will go in the field, and the chief of the crew is the most experienced from the crew. Most of our chiefs have been with us in SLI more than 25 years. So all of them have at least, the chiefs have at least 25 years in surveying. And then the way we prepare the surveys is we always shift the surveyors from the office to the field. Like for instance, if I'm doing work on a computer, I send them back in the field to make sure that what they're looking for on the computer, they know how to get it in the field. So if he's looking for a curb, he will go in the field, and then he will do work with the field crew to make sure that whatever we need in the office is collected. That's how we cross-train them between the office and the field to make sure that they do the experience that they need.
And the chiefs that are always in touch with registered surveyor by phone.
Thank you.
All right, number three, describe the process you employ in assembling the historical data on the property.
As I mentioned earlier, we've been doing surveying for over 41 years. So we have a large database in the office. And then all of our surveys are classified under legal description or project number or address. And then all the benchmarks that we use, let's say we always use the city or the county benchmark or the state benchmarks. But if an area does not have a benchmark, we bring our own benchmark and we install it in there, and then we keep track of it to make sure that if we have to come back to the job or we have to come back to the area, we already have a benchmark that is already established that gives us horizontal and vertical control for the project.
We have done a lot of work with TxDOT all around this area, and also with the property east of here, east of the freeway. In fact, we were the surveyors in 1972 for the gas company when the property was bought. I personally had the control for that property. Also, we had a big industrial park here, Continental Industrial Park. We did that also, and there were a lot of problems with the actual boundary of the properties. And there was a lot of research done that goes back all the way to the state line monuments. Mm-hmm. And we have them all in our database. In fact, like George says, we've been in the business in 1971. And we have a large database, probably one of the largest in the city.
We just recently established the right-of-way for the river from Van Horn all the way to...
From the branch all the way to Fort Stockton.
Could you repeat what he said?
We established the right-of-way benchmarks and monuments for the river.
We relocated all the monuments.
Okay,
there were about 2,000 monuments that we had to relocate, find, and replace.
For which river?
For the Rio Grande.
Rio Grande and then part of the boundary going.
I was going to say, the Rio Grande doesn't run through Fort Stockton.
No. But I mean, that region. Excuse me, Fort Hancock.
Fort Hancock, okay. Yeah, all right. Sorry.
You're right.
Thank you.
Will your company be employing GPS-based data collection? If not, what type of equipment will be used? And if so, how is accuracy ensured?
We use GPS for sure, and we also use the TOPCon data collectors. The way we use, like around buildings, when there's like, let's say in kind of TOR, there's a lot of buildings and trees, the GPS doesn't work very, very accurately. So most of the time we use the data collectors. We also, for topographic surveys, I personally like to use the data collector because it gives you the accuracy to the hundredth of the inaccuracy, but the GPS a lot of times will give you less accuracy than the data collectors. Okay. But we're prepared to use both of them.
Last question is, describe the most common challenges professional surveyors face when working together with owners, architects, and contractors, and also added to that, discuss your work experience, if any, with the Gunnelty Independent School District.
Okay, let me start with the later part of this question. We're just right now doing a project for you at the middle school. We're doing it through M&K Architects. We're the engineer on expanding the parking lot and then making the new route for the bus stop and then trying to solve the drainage problem. We're also engineers. But part of that task is also prepare a survey, a boundary survey for the middle school and a topographic survey. We hardly deal with owners. I mean, most of the time the problems that we have is mostly with architects and contractors. The problem with architects is where the architect will come in and then will order a survey of a certain piece of land, and then all of a sudden you do all that surveying, and then they come back and say, okay, you know what, we need the other supply, or we need to pick up. So it's mostly the defining the scope of work. So what I'd like to do most of the time when I get a project is sit down with the architect and make sure that we define the scope of work in writing. That way I'm clear on the scope of work, they are clear on the scope of work. With the contractors, the major problem is you stake the land where they need to fill or cut, and then their operator come in and wipe everything out. Then you have to come back again the next day and do the same task twice and three times and four times. And the issue with that is that they expect you also to do that for the same amount of money. And that's the only problems that we have.
So architects and contractors.
Yes, sir.
Is this project with Canyatillo Middle your first and only project that you've done with Canyatillo ISD?
With my experience with SLI, yes, sir.
Yes, that we have not done any. We work around your area, that's all.
Well, thank you very much for coming in. We really appreciate it.
Thank you all very much.
Appreciate the late hour.
Hello.
No problem.
Sorry for the
time.
Nice to
meet you.
Good
night. Thank you very much.
Good night. Thank you.
Mr. Lincoln, thank you. It's a pleasure meeting
you.
Thank you.
Nice to see you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much for your time.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night. Good night. Good night. Good night. Good night. Good night. Good night.
Good night. Good night. Good night. Good
night.
Good
night.
Can we do this right now? Yeah, I'm going to ask. So what I'm going to ask is, I guess since we have these three, rank your first, second, third. And then
we have about 15 minutes, so.
Okay, so.
Are we still?
Yeah, we're okay.
Are you ready to give first, second?
We're still about an hour late, but we're okay. As far as everybody's going to be an hour late.
Let's have a little bit of discussion,
yeah.
And then we could rank the first, second, and third.
Yeah.
Anyone want to say anything about Landmark?
To me, second one.
Landmark?
Landmark is third for me.
Yeah. Yes.
I agree. Me too.
So it's, I guess the discussion would be, for me too, so the discussion between SLI and Frank Spencer.
Yes.
On
is he Joe's brother?
Joe Spencer?
The thing that I liked between both of them, they're probably the best firms in El Paso, but these last individuals, their explanation of the questions, especially the last question, you know, whether it's owners, architects, or, you know, for us it's a first survey, but their explanation of it was more, you know, to
Very layman. Yeah. Very layman explanation.
And the other questions, the way they were, you know, the GPS system, it's not just, you know, we had GPS, but looking at the pros and cons of using it. And we all know if anybody's used GPS,
it sometimes takes you. GPS ain't always right.
No,
it's not.
But that's mine. And then if anybody else wants to go.
That FXSA. Tried to say that a couple times, right? We tried it. The land surveyor there, Charles Gutierrez. He's done half the county, if not more.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's experience. That's the only thing. Otherwise, I'd actually just say just with SLI. But that Charles Gutierrez, he's on almost every. In fact, the document you gave me of the River Park on my map of my development.
Yeah, I saw it.
Yeah, it's got Charles Gutierrez all over it. So he's one of the better ones out there.
So.
Ron, did SLI do the survey on the property before we bought it?
Probably did. He said he did the whole.
He does with Hunt.
Back
since
the
70s, yeah. He probably did all the gas line and everything.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, that they know that property well. Did okay.
I do want to state the board says we're going to award this tonight. We're not going to award this.
Yes.
We're
going to
enter into negotiations. Yes, that's great. Just want to make that clear. So we do our motion at the end.
What's slated? I mean, is it just PKA that we're talking about?
Mm-hmm. No, it's all about
district-wide.
District-wide. And including any future projects for up to 4 years. This can
so
be up
we're
to
just
years.
Essentially getting a district land survey, right? In-house. Or not in-house, but contractor.
Contractor.
Okay.
And I think there was a check mark on there that they, whichever projects they wanted
and
to
they
do.
Checked all
and
of
most
them.
Of them checked all of them as far as the way I remember, they all checked everything.
Right. Between FXSA and SLI, I tend to report to the SLI. I like them.
Which one was that, the last one?
Yes.
I don't think we can go wrong with either one. These guys have a lot of experience. I prepare a lot of deeds, and we get the surveys that go along with the, mm-hmm. when we prepare them to make sure for easements and stuff that there's been incorporated into it. We get like an abstract of for a land deal, whatever. And sometimes we have to put the surveyor's documentation of the legal description in there. And a lot of times they are meets and bounds. Mm-hmm. And so we have to refer to the surveyor's work. I've seen Licon, it's probably done half or more than all of Canutillo.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, they've been around doing this site. I think probably most of their work early on had been probably in this area. And east of Donovan in Canutillo, horrible. From the very early on. And so there have been always been problems, and the one that probably have the more historical that know about those problems is SLI.
They're smart to bring him.
Yeah, because he's been there, done that. I'm talking all downtown Canutillo, east of Donovan. The records were just messed up. Actually, the monuments were moved. Because I've had lawsuits dealing with our people on those streets where they're off.
Yeah.
I've had situations where we've had three separate surveys done, and there's three separate stakes. I mean, granted, real close, but think about it, within about a foot to a foot and a half apart, because the monuments over here at one point were moved. So the historical data was messed up.
It sounds like they just moved all the markers for the river.
Yeah, they did.
Which will be through Canutillo ISD.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was for all that federal work that they're doing on the levees.
Yeah, I think that speaks highly of them that they were chosen to mark the river from...
Yeah, WWC got them.
Hatch to Hancock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He said Fort Stockton, that threw me.
We like I said,
Spencer and those guys have a lot of people. They're probably a bigger outfit.
Yeah.
But I like their I like their explanation. They were, you know, SLIs.
And I like the historical.
We can't go wrong with either one of those guys.
I'm surprised Seipel didn't put in.
Who?
Seipel? Didn't put in for this.
Yeah.
They brought the dog and pony when they bring in a C.F. Jordan's house.
Yeah.
Did you see?
That was 70,000 square feet.
They brought
well, Seipel may have. They were too big to return to late.
Who did?
Uh-huh,
it's really nice. Have you seen in it?
Seipel did.
Oh, it did.
I
fixed it on the fix.
Oh, it's Parkwood.
See? That was Parkwood.
No, at the
I'll tell you what, I saw their survey work. It's good quality.
So I wouldn't want to clean that house.
Do we actually need to, should we read the agenda item 6B?
Their children, yeah.
And make a decision on it?
You can do it now. Or we
we're
can
in
do
open
both
session,
them.
So yeah. Do you want to call Tony back in to get the roll?
Do you all want to wait or just act on it now? So that we can move.
Do we need to fill this up?
No.
No,
we don't have to.
No, actually, that's not ours.
Human Resources takes it up anyway, so.
Yeah.
It's not like we do.
Well,
can
actually, I do need these for, we will have to fill that out for the.
With
the
answers.
Yeah.
These?
You
is
all
that
right.
Our question? We fill out the question and not this.
Okay. What do you?
It's the evaluation.
So I'll open records, so.
I know, but we don't do this. We do that question.
Okay, so isn't it just as simple as 1, 2, 3?
Yes, you can just rank them.
You can rank them.
Rank
them. Just use the point system.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and sign it. Rank and sign. Great.
Well, but they have the scale.
Three being the lowest.
They have a different weight, 35, blah, blah, blah. They
I know, but we could do it 1, 2, 3, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. One being the highest and three being the lowest.
If you want, I can go ahead and change that to where it shows ranking if you want to do it that way.
Yeah, we need to do that.
Okay.
Yeah. You want to go
about
print
this
new ones?
Look what I've just said.
She's going to change.
That's
it. He's going to change.
All right, he's going to go change them and print new ones.
He's going to change them because of
using
this.
This is about, yeah.
No, that's great, but
yeah,
because of this.
Okay. When you print them,
I think this
is
really
small.
Print them on a different color piece of paper.
I'll do that.
Let's simplify.
Yeah. He's just going to reprint.
Yeah, don't make it hard.
You don't need to reprint.
Let's just do this on the bottom. Look.
Let her run.
What Lori did, that's great.
You see that? That way you don't have to. Yes, thank you, Lori.
Thank you, Laura.
And put your.
What Lori did. Make sure you sign them. We just have to rank them, that's all we have to do.
Want a date on them?
Sure, it's December 3rd. Everyone, FXSA is bigger.
Put a date, gang.
Size wise?
Yeah.
I'd have to look it up, I don't.
Because it's December 3rd. It looks like they have on hand. It's December 3rd.
Is this the pen, Rachel?
Yes.
Thank you, Rachel. Okay.
I put this in pencil.
Now I'm going to go put these up.
We only have two RPLs overall.
Okay, Rachel, I'm going to give you, you can throw these in.
Yes.
No, I know, but that's the whole team. And they look at the other one, and they showed you the layout for it. They have four in their stand.
These people.
Anybody else got, did you date it?
No, it's. So, do I bring Tony in so we could act on that item?
Put my name on and where should I?
Is it the same agenda? Is it a different agenda?
The RFQ is on the.
Give me a pen three.
Same. Yeah, let's just wait till.
Let's just put together.
CQC goes first?
Yes, ma'am. We did it alphabetically ordered.
You dated Sergio?
And we're right on time. We're exactly an hour behind what we had scheduled, so.
So we came in on time?
We're just now.
CQC.
These are mine.
And can you put another two, a three, and a one?
Sure.
Circle. There you go, perfect. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
So ring through Paul, Friday.
And I'll use this to rank them.
So we're going to set the folders up.
Do you want these? You know, it's really interesting, these non-collusion waivers are in here. That, I like that, Ron.
Yes.
Because that's what was going on downtown.
Yes.
That they were bidding amongst one another.
You take this one, I'll take that one.
And I'll go low here and you can go high there. I was happy to see we have that.
Okay. I do want to ask that if anybody knows anybody that's presenting tonight, that they make note of it and let us know.
Yeah.
Like how close do you have to know them?
Well, they'd have to be like a close relative.
Yeah, cousin or.
Okay, you just don't like, you met them in a restaurant?
No, if you've seen them or you know them, have you met them before?
Or if you've done work with them.
Yeah.
My brother works for one of the companies, my brother-in-law.
Which company?
Incon International.
You've made that clear to us, so.
Do you feel that you can vote without, with a clear conscience?
You know, I can't talk about.
Yeah, it's a.
I took an oath of.
Can you vote with a clear conscience?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So we're going to act on it later? We'll go ahead and bring it up?
And we're doing this as a committee, I mean, I'm not the only one who votes.
Okay, then let's start going to the RFQs for.
But if you feel that I need to step out, I'll step out.
1306 for geotech and soils. We ready?
Martha.
I like this stuff.
We okay then?
Yes. See.
I like the way these people in this little car. Did you see they had three party chiefs?
I think the other one had five.
Oh.
You don't have second little contest, yeah, that's all we got.
Ready?
Okay then?
Yeah. Oh, do we have the questions?
Who gets the questions, same ones?
Yeah.
No, there's no questions, sir.
Yeah, but we go one, two, three, four, five.
Same numbers, yeah, that's fine.
And this time we have got the number five, Canyon Two Independent School District. And I don't know where it went on the surveying, I had it on there.
You're left out again. This one's.
You know what, I forgot, let me get one.
Still not good. Knockout.
Hi, gentlemen, how are you?
Right up here, gentlemen, this is the hot seat.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you. And you are with CQC.
CQC.
Yes.
So welcome, and we appreciate the late hour. Our board meets in the evening, and so that's why we do it in the evening. Have a seat. We have a timed interview. It's a 15-minute interview, and there are five questions. The questions are there taped down in front of the microphone. We ask that you not write on the tape sheet, but you certainly can write on the pads next to you, and you have some water. We'll give you a few minutes to review the questions silently. We'll look over. Do you have anything to share with us, anything to give to us or not? It's okay either way.
We did do a real quick, just a short little presentation. It's just a handout.
Yes, if you'll give it to me, I'll pass it out. And we'll take a look at that while you look at the questions.
Thank you.
And then when you're ready, give us the high sign, and we will ask the questions one at a time with a 15-minute time limit. We'll give you a 2-3-minute heads up toward the end.
I got children.
I
got
one.
Oh, you got?
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
Johnny on the spot.
Do you have a
man purse? Really?
Or did you pull that out?
It's a pocket. Oh, it's flax now.
I love you.
Pockets.
A pocket. No, it's in the car.
It's
just like his return.
Y'all about ready?
I think so.
Before we start, I want to go around and introduce everyone.
I'm Ron Gatlin, the purchasing agent. I do want to let you know that the board does have a copy of your proposals. They've been looking at that for a few days now, and that also will be part of the evaluation, not just these questions. So the answers that you gave on this will also be evaluated.
Okay.
Thank you. Search.
Sergio Coronado, I'm a board member.
Armando Rodriguez, board president.
Adrian Medina, board member.
Patricia Gonzalez, board member.
Rachel Quintana, board member.
Larry Searles, board member.
My name is Jaime Rojas, and I am the for this RFQ, I am the geotech engineer of record. I am also the president and majority owner of CQC Testing and Engineering. It's an El Paso-based firm. And Mauricio Esquivel is our construction project manager. He's also an engineer. And I'll let him add a little bit to his introduction.
Well, I have about 15 years of experience in the field, geotechnical and construction testing. Actually, when I graduated from high school, my first job was a technician, so I'm pretty familiar with the field and that test. And I'll be primarily be the point of contact for testing, and I'll be supervising and with the technicians for the lab and the technicians.
Thank you very much. Ms. Searles?
Yes.
And we'll start the clock.
Does your company own and operate the soils and construction materials testing lab?
Yes, ma'am, we do.
Okay. If so, what certifications and qualifications does your lab have, or to whom will this service be subcontracted to?
As far as certifications of our laboratory, we're certified with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers.
In general, will any of the services the vendor proposes have to be provided, that the vendor proposes have to provide be subcontract? Are any of your services going to be subcontracted?
I can give you a very short answer, but I want to elaborate a little bit.
Okay.
We understand that for this project, you know, the main project that, again, in our opinion, looking at the RFQ and the projects that could come under the bond, and basically the projects that are already elected, we understand the school is the main priority right now to get that pre-K built. And just having some knowledge on the site, we anticipate that it is going to be a very challenging site. We do have a lot of cut and fill on that site, so we do envision that we're going to have to do something a little bit not standard drilling out there, because we anticipate that the soil formations are going to be rather hard. I guess answering your question, ma'am, we probably have to do, we'll have to subcontract the backhoe to do some test pits out there.
Okay.
And at the same token, we also understand that there may be an interest in evaluating geothermal. So that would be something that we would have to subcontract out as well.
But what I'm hearing is like machinery you would subcontract.
Yes,
when
ma'am.
You say backhoe?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you very much.
Please elaborate on the equipment that your company owns and operates, and how this distinguishes your ability to provide exceptional service. What, if any, equipment will be needed to be purchased or leased by your company to render the services the vendor proposes to provide?
I guess it ties back into number one a little bit. At this point, you know, other than maybe a backhoe is what we would have to do, we don't envision having to lease anything. We own our own equipment as far as testing for the geotechnical purposes of this project. I would say that the main equipment, again, would probably be more of the subcontract drilling part. Something that you're not going to find here locally.
But I mean the geothermal that has to go
yes,
so
sir.
Deep?
Yes, sir.
But on the regular wells, will you have to subcontract that?
On the regular drilling, we probably have to do subcontracted driller that can get to the proposed depths. And that's why at this point we anticipate that we're going to have to combine it with test pits with a backhoe. Because most standard rigs here, you'll hit auger refusal as you're drilling. Typically, those are only good to maybe 5 feet. And beyond that, you can't go any deeper than that. So we'd have to combine that with something else.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Number three, describe the proposed personnel that will be in the field. What are each of their qualifications, and how many years' experience do they have?
I think Our company has three of the most experienced technicians in El Paso. One has about 30 years, the other one about 20, the other one about 18 years of experience. All of the technicians are ACI certified, which is the American Concrete Institute. They are certified to use the nuclear gauge for the soil densities, and also with the TxDOT.
There's also, as part of the RFQ, if you look on, I believe it's in section 3, we do have an organization chart there. And basically, I am the geotech engineer of record, and I'll be overseeing this or all of that. I bring 19 years of experience in this field, both geotech and the testing part, so I'll be overseeing all the operation. Mauricio Esquivel will be the engineer, basically, once we go into the construction phase, so he assisted me with a review of reports and testing.
Is this an open session?
Yes.
All right.
Thank you.
Describe your process for assembling and disseminating data in a timely manner to the interested parties.
For this RFQ, we envision, you know, that you're going to have a component of geotechnical, which is going to be key to get going on any of these on most of these projects, and then you'll have the construction materials testing, which will take place, you know, once you develop plans and specs, and ultimately, you know, your contractor, if you have a CM at risk, you know, whatever it is, we envision on the geotechnical part, we'll sit down with the architect and with the team of consultants that he has, and we'll along with the district, we'll develop a scope of work. And based on that, you know, we go out there, do the standard drilling, geotechnical investigation reports, and then we distribute that all to the design team, and they use that to develop, you know, further develop the recommendations and final designs. On the construction materials testing side, that's the next phase. Once you have a set of plans and specs, we would basically distribute that. You would provide that to us. We would do an estimate, and we would provide the district with the cost. Once that gets approved, then the process is basically the contractor would basically call us out for testing services, and depending on how it's set up, the district would have an RPR out there, either an engineer or architect representative, somebody out there that would also call us out for testing as needed. And once we do tests in the field, we do provide triplicate reports there. When they get back to the office, those reports are distributed by email, and they're finally sent out, you know, signed. And again, it's just a process of where we would keep in contact with the project managers and basically let them know on how, what the status is of a project, what our budget, how are we doing on our budget. And at the end of the project, what we always do is we do closeout documents as well. It's a little more value that we add to the project. We basically put all the reports together, because things get lost, and basically we give the district a CD and a binder at the end with all the reports for their documentation. And that would be part of the distribution.
Thank you for coming out tonight. The last question, please discuss your work experience, if any, with the Canotillo Independent School District.
My personal experience with Canotillo, I have worked on other projects with the district. I worked on Alderete when they built the classroom at Alderete. And I was also involved in a subsidence study that took place with Ernesto for Alderete as well.
When was that?
That would have been 2000. Ernesto just left. It would have been... We wrapped it up last year, towards the beginning of last year.
So you worked on fixing the subsidence, helping us with some expertise there.
Yes, we did an additional study as well. You know, we did some borings, and then after that, we weren't involved in the fix, which, as I understand, that's something that already took place.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for coming in. We really appreciate it. Short and sweet.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
So can I take this next card?
Everybody likes them.
Thank you.
Good evening.
Thank you.
Good evening. Thank you.
Thank you all very much.
Do we have this?
And Connie.
Hi, good evening. Damon Murphy, Superintendent.
Congratulations.
Ralph Beta.
Hi, guys. Good evening.
Ralph Beta.
Armando Rodriguez.
What can be guys?
If you want, we can just pass it.
Okay.
Great.
Right up here, gentlemen. Do you just have one copy or do you have multiple?
I have multiple.
Just give me all, and I'll give them all back to you.
There's a couple. Okay.
Have a seat, John.
Thank you.
Well, as I said, I'm Dr. Murphy, superintendent. We have a regimented interview, 15 minutes. It's all we have. The questions are right there in front of you, taped to the table. We ask that you not write on the taped questions, but you certainly can write on the pads in front of you. We're going to give you a few minutes to look at the questions, make some notes. You can answer them in tandem, however you want to answer them. And the questions will be asked one at a time by the board members. But before we start, we do want to go around and introduce.
Hi, I'm Ron Gatlin, purchasing agent. I do want to let you know that the board does have a copy of your proposals. They're also using that information that you submitted for the evaluation along with these questions. So, okay. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Sergio Coronado. I'm a board member. Good evening.
Armando Rodriguez, board president.
Adrian Medina, board member.
Rachel Gonzalez, board member.
Rachel Quintana, board member.
Good evening, Laurie Searles, board member.
So take a couple minutes, look over the questions.
Incon.
That's correct. You can elaborate as you'd like, but we stick to the five questions, and those are the same five questions that we ask every group.
Yeah, we wanted to clarify on the previous.
You can refer to it if you'd like.
Okay, I appreciate it.
Yes,
they all have proposal. Yes, they all have.
Are you ready? And then we could.
Yeah, I guess it's getting late for everybody. we would like to add a little bit, you know, if we could.
Okay, Ron, can you restate about how everyone has a copy?
Yes, like I said earlier, that every one of the board members has been supplied with a copy of everyone's proposal.
Okay,
they're also using this information that was submitted for their evaluation along with these questions. So.
All right, 15-minute interview, and I'll give you a heads up at 2 to 3 minutes if you're kind of running out of time. Ms. Searles?
Yes, sir. Does your company own and operate a soils and construction materials testing lab?
Yes, since 1989.
And if so, what certifications and qualifications does your lab have?
We have quite a few individual and company certifications and qualifications. Everything that would be required for this contract with the district. We've worked for just about every district in the area. Davins, Clinton ISD, El Paso, Isleta, Socorro, El Gordo, Las Cruces, and several others. So we've done this type of work.
In general, will any of the services that you propose have to provide be subcontracted?
We have a laboratory here in the El Paso area and also in Alamogordo, New Mexico. We have all the equipment that we need. The only thing, though, that we might subcontract would be drilling, some drilling services. That's one thing. And there we simply get the best price and pass the savings on to the district instead of keeping that overhead, you know, throughout the year.
So. And by drilling, do you mean the geothermal drill or just drilling in general?
No, we have drilling equipment that we use, but there's a drill rig. We call it geotechnical drilling, and so that would be something that we might sub out.
Thank you.
Number two, please elaborate on the equipment that your company owns and operates and how this distinguishes your ability to provide exceptional service. What, if any, equipment will be needed to be purchased or leased by your company to render the services the vendor proposes to provide?
Good question. As I shared, we have everything that we need. We have more than what we need. We have extra equipment. So, again, we've been doing this since 89, 23 years of experience. And we are the closest testing laboratory to Canutillo Independent School District in the world. We're the closest ones. We would save you time. We would save you money and provide quality services with the quickest response. So, if you're interested in, if you ask the residents of Canutillo, you want to save time and money, quality services, or you want to have one of the top 500 Hispanic firms in the United States, then you get both of those with us. So we were selected about a month ago as one of the top 500, not engineering firms, or not services firms, but top 500 Hispanic firms, from making enchiladas to selling,
wow,
you know, insurance, like Fred Boyer, he's also on the list. But this is a proof of that. You want to pass that in?
Okay. You want to pass around that way?
Thank you.
So, save time, cost, and quality, or top 500 firms.
Could I add something there on his answer to the equipment that they own and operate in terms of the testing procedures that they're capable of doing? Whatever might come up with your plans and specs, they certainly won't over exceed anything that they already have available to them that will be typically required on Corps of Engineer jobs, because there's a lot more testing and encompasses a much larger variety of testing requirements than what's typically used in the private sector. If that kind of helps answer your question in terms of the breadth and extent of the capabilities.
Did I get it?
Yeah.
I surprised you, right?
Didn't expect enchiladas.
All right, moving on to number three here. Describe the proposed personnel that will be in the field. What are each of their qualifications, and how many years' experience do they have?
Well, starting out, if I may, Ralph and myself are both professional engineers. We have more than 30 years of work experience here. I'm born and raised in the area, Central, and Ralph came.
I have extensive experience from having worked with other independent firms and also with the Corps of Engineers. In fact, I was with the Corps of Engineers during the Reagan administration, and our Soles Design and Dam Safety Section oversaw or did the GeoTech work for up to as much as $300 million worth of military construction projects. One of the last few projects I worked on was the Star Wars project.
So he keeps mentioning the Corps of Engineers, and just so you all know, the Corps is kind of the highest standard, if you will, and we're qualified with the Corps of Engineers. One of the credentials that you mentioned, I think, Lori, we're qualified with the Corps with our laboratory, so we meet the highest standards, and they've been our number one client for over 2 decades. So we kind of specialize in work for, not for the contractors, but for folks like you, school districts, city, state, and federal government. So that's what we specialize in.
Thank you.
Because you're asking good questions. You know?
Describe your process for assembling and disseminating the data in a timely manner to the interested party.
Well, as I mentioned, Sergio, we're like 3 minutes away. If we get caught with a light, it might be four, you know, so we're the closest one. So you give us a call, and we're going to be here quicker than anybody else. When you need testing, we will be here right away. So nobody can offer the quickest response time. Not only that, that saves you, saves the district time and money, because the other folks are coming from the east side somewhere. You're paying for them to go from there to here and to go back. Travel time, downtime, extra money, and you don't benefit from that. So if I were in your shoes, I don't presume to be, but I would ask myself, what would the people I'm representing, what would they want? Would they want to save time and money and get quicker quality services? Or do they want to pay for people that, good folks, we've got good competitors here, but they're way out on the east side, all of them. So that's how we're different in that sense. And the other thing, Sergio, if I may, to finish up, what differentiates our company is that we have a sense of service. We're a veteran-owned firm. We've served our country. We serve our community. Not only helping out, but if you look at that handout that we gave you, the colorful handout, the second page has a letter at the bottom. highlighted in red is a two sentences. Did you get that?
Yes, sir.
Second page,
second
right
page
at the bottom.
Right there.
Yeah,
maybe it's I have it.
It was highlighted in red. But that's an example of our community service. We're committed to El Paso. We're based here. We've grown here, grown up here. We're from the area. We're from the west side. Most of our, in fact, we have employees that live in Cañadillo. You know, so we're, not all our employees are from Cañadillo, but we have people from, you know, a lot of folks from the west side. You know, Anthony, Santa Teresa, Summit Park, you know, and other areas here, including Cañadillo. But the sense of service, you hire us, you hire a firm that's committed to our community here, west of the mountain, okay? That letter of recommendation is regarding the El Paso Collaborative. Sergio, I don't know if you're familiar with that, but it's a group of nonprofit organizations that it's local, state, county, and federal organizations that are trying to work for low-income housing throughout the area, including Cañadillo. We've been helping them out. You see their appreciation, but we've been doing that kind of like pro bono. At cost, we're not making a nickel. We're not even making all our money back. But that's the kind of service that we extend because we're based here in El Paso on the west side. To finish up,
one last question.
Can I add that?
Oh, go ahead. Sorry, I thought.
Myself, You guys look pretty young, but I've been a volunteer track coach, official, for over two decades to the kids here on the west side, okay? Haven't gotten paid for 20 years, and that's just a sense of serving our community. So I just wanted to pass that on.
Thank you for your service. According to the last question, it says, please describe your work experience, if any, in the Gunnedah Independent School District.
You know, I mentioned quite a few school districts before, and I didn't mention all of them. Silver City, Gadsden, UTEP, NMSU, Texas Tech Medical School, Fabens in Las Cruces. But we worked on something. It's been a while. We have worked for Gagnatillo, but I think it's been like 15 years ago. And to be honest with you, I don't remember. It was, I think it was an environmental type project versus environmental engineering versus geotechnical engineering. I can't remember. I didn't look it up. You all may have records, but it's been a while.
That concludes. Thank you.
Okay, well, thank you very much for coming in. Short and sweet.
Yes.
You did very well.
Well, I appreciate it.
Can we
that.
Keep the handouts?
Yes, sir. All right. Please keep that.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you for coming in, sorry for the delay.
Oh, no problem.
Thank you very much.
I'm running a little bit late. That's what it is. Thanks once again.
Does anybody want anything to drink or snack or anything?
I need a new shirt.
A new shirt.
You got one of those back
there. You have your coat.
Make it blue so that way
my coat.
It's got to be like a T-shirt somewhere for the poor guy, Dr. Murphy.
Polo.
Good evening. I'm David Murphy, Superintendent.
Hello.
It's a pleasure.
Adrian
Medina.
Nice to meet you.
Adrian Medina.
Nice to meet you.
Well, I like those pads.
They do.
The bite down here, guys. Obviously.
Just gonna give them a few pages.
Do you have any handouts?
Yes.
I'll take as many as you have. Is that it? Well, gentlemen, welcome. Have a seat. Again, I'm Dr. Murphy, Superintendent of Schools, and we appreciate the late hour. The board though works in the evening. That's the way we do things around here, so thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
We have a regimented short interview. There are five questions in front of you. They're taped down in front of you. We ask that you not write on the tape sheet, but you certainly can write on the pad.
All right.
We're going to give you 2 or 3 minutes to review the questions. Write down any notes that you have. I'll pass out your handout. We'll take a look at it. When we get done, we will individually ask the questions one at a time. There's a 15-minute time limit, and we'll give you a heads up at about 2 to 3 minutes, let you know if you're getting close. But all before right. we start, I do want to go around and introduce everyone. Ron, do you want to start?
I'm Ron Gatlin, purchasing agent for the district.
And Ron, if you could explain about the bid. Right.
Each one of the board members has a copy of your proposal that you sent in. They've been looking at that. They're also going to use that as the evaluation, also not just these questions. So Everything that you submitted in your bid will also be evaluated for your RFQ.
I'm Sergio Coronado. I'm a board member.
Armando Rodriguez, board president.
Thank you, sir.
Adrian Medina, board member.
Patricia Gonzalez, board member.
Rachel Quintana, board member. Laurie Searles, board member.
And I'm Bernardino Lagin, LEC Engineering, principal in charge, and proposed project manager.
Manny Reyes, CMT manager.
And you are LEC.
LEC Engineering, yes.
All right. Take a couple minutes to look over the questions, and we'll look over the materials you just gave us. Okay.
First of all, again, thank you for having us. We are very appreciative of this opportunity. And
we're going to ask the questions one at a time. Are you done? Are you ready to go?
We're ready to go.
Ms. Searles.
Yes. Good evening, gentlemen. Our first question would be, does your company own and operate a soils and construction materials testing lab?
Yes, we do. And we have a soil testing laboratory equipment, concrete equipment to test for composite strength, flexural strength, as well as asphalt testing equipment to determine the marginal flow stability of the hot mix asphaltic concrete. And I will allow Manny to elaborate further.
Well, let me ask you the rest of it. Oh. I think your elaboration will come into play. If okay. So, what certifications and qualifications does your lab have? Or to whom will this service be subcontracted to?
Okay, yes, the certifications that we have the U.S. Corps of Engineers validation, and of course it deals with all the ASTM and ASTO combined, which is mostly what the construction materials testing, anything that we'd be doing for the school district and the soils, asphalt and concrete. We also have nuclear densimeters, and we have a validated license to keep up with all the lead tests and all the regulatory qualifications to that we have to keep up with it. And no, we're not going to subcontract any other services. We have our own training for our technicians. They go through the extensive training before we let them out in the field, and also in the laboratory also.
Okay. And so you won't have to subcontract this?
No, that is correct.
In general, will any of the services that you propose have to be subcontracted?
No, no.
Okay.
Would that include the drilling, even the geothermal drilling?
That is correct. We have our own CME 75 drill rig. And we just finished drilling for the U.S. IWC, the Boundary Water Commission, along the Rio Grande. And we utilized mud drilling, rotary drilling, and wash drilling as well to determine the, you know, for the levee system to make sure that, you know, in case of a flood, it will hold water on the side, on the river side.
Okay, question number two. Please elaborate on the equipment that your company owns and operates, and how this distinguishes your ability to provide exceptional service. What, if any, equipment will be needed to be purchased or leased by your company to render the services the vendor proposes to provide?
As I said before, any of the laboratory or the field equipment that we own, for instance, an ignition for doing the asphalt testing, Reinhardt hammer for the compaction, for the moisture density reading, proctors, saves and PIs. We own all this equipment. We would not have to purchase any equipment. Everything that we have right now would be sufficient for the testing for the school district.
Thank you.
And to add to that, for instance, if we can test in the field for concrete, we have our own HLT equipment for coring, which means that, let's say that we have a low break in the field, we can always go back and extract a concrete sample and not just wait for the lab results. So we can do that. We have our own capability for achieving that. And in terms of in the office, we have AutoCAD, and we have like 12 computers. We have our own plotter. We have everything that we need to, let's say, map or even plot and or print survey maps that, you know, that will help us at some point determine the, you know, the subsidence. What, you know, how can we attain a better knowledge and grasp of in the field? Kind of getting a snapshot of an X-ray of the situation in the field.
All right, moving on to number three here. Describe the proposed personnel that will be in the field. What are each of their qualifications, and how many years' experience do they have?
All right. We have, all in all, we have four engineers, and that's Jerry Cohn, who has a master's in geotechnical engineering. He's got a license, myself. Jerry has 26 years in the field. I have 21. I have a master's in geotechnical engineering. That's my field of expertise, and so is Jerry Cohn's. Ben Lopez, he's been with the company for 10 years, and he's a graduate and also has a master's degree. And then we have Ivan Olivas, who is a recent graduate from UTEP. Of course, we like UTEP for some reason. So we have combined close to 95 years of experience. It's not, it's cumulative, it's not, you know, of course, you know, like
one person.
So, but all of us, you know, three of us have master's degrees in geotech engineering. That's what we do. We're not any type of engineers. We're geotech, that's what we do. And then, of course, Manny Reyes, who is the materials testing supervisor and manager. Manny, he's been doing this, and you know, that gray hair is the result of 30 years of being involved in the field. And Manny and I, we have worked together in three other companies. So we know we work as a team. And collectively, you know, we try to achieve the better flow for our client.
Yeah, the other thing that our technical personnel, like I said, you know, they go through the training and they also have to acquire certifications, ACI field concrete, which are, and the radiation hazard training, which are the basic to go out and do testing, take tests, density tests, or go and sample concrete and for compressive strength.
And so that's the engineering staff, and that's then the CMT staff, materials testing, that's many. And then we have two engineers from who graduated from the university in Mexico. However, they are not engineers nonetheless, but they are in the engineering technician staff. So our technicians are not just trained and sort of have the certification from the American Concrete Institute or SOILS, but they also have a good understanding of how the soil behaves, how the concrete behaves. Our ASCO is not just going punching numbers on the tracer or CPN nuclear tensometers. It's understanding the theory behind doing the work. So I feel every report I sign that goes out the door, and I have to review it to ensure that we have the information, that it's the right information, that it's accurate, that we're not reporting anything that is, you know, within our skill and expertise. And if there's an issue, we'll bring it up to our clients. In terms of experience, I think we all over, you know, close to 120 everybody's combined experience in our field of expertise.
Thank you.
All right. Describe your process for assembling and disseminating data in a timely manner to the interested parties.
Well, once we have the, first of all, knowing, getting together with our client, and identify what the project is, you know, what the objective of the project. Assembling the team of the personnel, getting a good understanding of what the purpose of the project is. Then we will identify the team, the members of the team, and collectively with our client and knowing the project, the issue that needs to be addressed, then we'll put together a work plan. That work plan will allow us to have develop a timeline and develop the each specific goals for the project. So once we have done that in the field, we have technology that is based on smartphones and iPhones. So we can in the field send you emails with the reports. So it's real time, real data as it happens. Secondly, we give you access to a system that we use for project management, which is called Procore. And that will send you an invite via email. You will get that invite, you create your own password, your username and everything. And every time there's a new report that will upload to the cloud, Windows, you will get that notification in your email, with your smartphone or what have you, and then you will have access to it real time as it happens in the field. Now, that's a draft report, it's raw data, hasn't been vetted, you know, through your license. Either by Jerry Lecon or myself, we'll have to, you know, review it, and then the report will be final. So it's you know, we have to stay, give you that sense of
that you know what's going on with your projects. And that's, I think what happened when we were, let's see, I don't want to get on the, I'll get to it for the next question, but it's real time data that's being transferred to clients.
Where is your lab located?
It's at the northeast quadrant of the intersection of Willow Street and Missouri, which is downtown El Paso.
Central
El Paso.
You are an engineer, northeast quadrant. Love that. That's awesome.
That's an engineer for you.
Yeah, it is.
It's off the freeway, right?
Yeah.
It's north of, just north of the freeway.
Yeah, it's a real good location, easy access, you know, easy on, easy off. The other thing that we also provide is when we take densities or any kind of sampling, any kind of testing that we do in the field, we also have a triplicate fashion report that we leave. Two copies, just in case, you know, any inspector, anybody that, or you needed the superintendent, anybody has any questions, what we did, it's all there. If the density's passed, you know, the concrete passed, well, we sample it. And then, of course, like Vernon says, we post any reports that come out that are already signed by him on Procore, and they're accessible to you. And then the other thing that we do is also email. Also, it depends on the distribution list. You put everybody that you want and everybody you don't want. So you just want the superintendent and architect. That way, everybody's involved on any of the results that they got out of the field.
Thank you.
And the last question. Please discuss your work experience, and if any, with the Canoteo Independent School District.
All right. I think that this is the, I've been doing this for 21 years, and I have worked, you know, for the various school districts throughout El Paso County, and by far working for the Canoteo ISD. It's for me, both as a professional and as a parent, because I have two of my daughters, they attend Canoteo Middle School. So I have my responsibility toward, you know, my career, my code of ethics, and then toward my daughters, you know, to make sure that they have the right facilities, per se. And we just recently completed the testing for Loretta Middle School. And that project, I think, combined everything that we just talked about, everything that is in the documents that have been distributed, where we collectively got together with the superintendent and the architect, the contractor, and jointly, we looked at what had been proposed by our firm, a geotech firm, and then we provided value engineering. What that means is that we look at the solutions, and we try to make them better. So we had in the field an engineer, Ben Lopez, and then we have one of our engineering technicians, Alejandro Rojas, and we were in the field reporting data as it was became available. If there was an issue, I would go to the field. You know, I'm not just the guy that you see, you know, wearing a suit, trying to look nice, but I'm actually going to have my steel toe boots, and I will go to the field, and I think Dr. Murphy, you know, maybe, you know, he might remember me, but I'm there, you know, I'm going to wear my hard hat and everything, I look different, but I'm there. It's not just, you know, the guy, the principal, the vice president of the company, and so is Manny Reyes. You know, we will go to the site.
Okay, you have 2 minutes.
And that's one project, and then I also serve as principal in charge for the Gonzalo and Sofia Garcia Elementary School as a design geotechnical engineer of record, and then during the construction of the school with a different company, not with LDC Engineering, but with another company.
Did you have any experience in that Garcia project in transferring soils from other areas to the Garcia site?
No.
So what was your project at Garcia?
It was developing the soil parameters for the foundation design, and, you know, develop the allowable soil pressures, the thickness for the pavement. There was an issue with respect to being so close to the lateral, because there was going to be the fire lane was going to be in that vicinity, and because of the high water table, we needed to, you know, be there and come up with a solution specific to that location. That's and then during the construction, of course, I was the engineer ready for materials testing as well.
What school was that again?
That's Gonzalo and Sofia Garcia.
Okay. Elementary. And then in the middle school, you have that's the current project that we're in?
Alderete.
At the Alderete, that's the current project that's ongoing?
Yeah, and that project was with respect to the field track.
Okay.
Can you elaborate on your experience with the Alderete football field?
Yes. In that project, there were multiple issues. I think I'm out of time.
You have 30 seconds.
It was to determine and come up with a solution that will provide a lot the right soil conditions to prevent subsidence in the future, given the conditions that prevail at the site. So we developed a removal of our excavation and replacement with suitable aggregate. We look at the soil, the aggregate removed, what was not suitable, and
you had nothing to do with the original putting of the soil
no.
there that caused the issue?
Negative. No.
Thank you.
Any clarifying questions, board?
No. No. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
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 Thank
you.
Thank you.
Thank
you.
Thank
you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank
you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
We put it up there.
So it wouldn't be so intimidating there.
Get your water on. We're thirsty.
They didn't bore deep enough.
Okay.
They didn't go down deep enough.
One more or two more? Two more.
Two
more.
CQC? CQC?
Is the first one?
You said I'm not too firm.
Mm-hmm. They did really? The fix.
Yes.
Well, we'll find out.
Oh, they stole another pad.
They did. Does that go on there?
Are they taking those?
Yeah. Stealers.
They just taken their stuff.
Wow.
They just taken other stuff.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Damon Murphy, Superintendent.
Damon.
Good to see you guys again. Do you have handouts for the board?
Yeah, what do we do?
Good evening.
Hi.
Is that helpful?
John Cordell.
So one of each, everyone?
Yeah, I've already stayed.
Have a seat.
Oh,
well, good evening. You are with Rava Kistner, is that
yes.
correct?
Yes, sir.
As I said, I'm Dr. Damon Murphy, Superintendent of Schools, and we're interviewing tonight. The questions, sorry that y'all get situated. You want me to hand out your cards as well?
Sure, please.
No problem. We have a regimented 15-minute interview. The questions are right here. If you move the microphone, you'll see them all. We're asking all of the firms the same five questions. The questions will be asked individually by board members. You don't have to ramble through all of them. They'll ask them one at a time. It's a 15-minute interview. Mr. Gatlin will be the timekeeper. He'll give you a heads up when you just have a couple minutes left so you can make sure to finish. And what we're going to do is we're going to give you a couple minutes to look over the questions and decide how you want to answer them. And there's pad and pen there available to write notes. We ask that you don't write notes on the taped piece of paper. And before we start, we'll go around and introduce Ron, and if you'll also explain about the...
Ron Gatlin, Purchasing Agent. I do want you to know that the board does have a copy of all your proposals. That's why we asked for so many copies, so they can have this. They've had it for a couple of days. They're going to evaluate the information included in your proposal and on the questions that are answered this evening.
Sergio Coronado, I'm a board member.
Thank you.
Armando Rodriguez, board president.
Adrian Medina, board member.
Rachel Quintana, board member.
Laurie Searles, board member.
Sorry.
Okay, you guys ready? Again, we thank you for coming in for the late hour. The board, as you discovered, works at night, and thank you for your time. Ms. Searles?
Yes, good evening, gentlemen. Does your company own and operate a soils and construction materials testing lab?
Yes, we have a soil testing lab here in El Paso. It is AMRL certified. It is Corps of Engineers validated, and we have different certifications that people that work there through ACI or TxDOT or New Mexico equivalent DOT.
You got a little ahead of me, so the next half to that was, if so, what certifications and qualifications does your lab have? So we got that one. Or to whom will this service be subcontracted to? Will you have to subcontract to anyone?
No, all services will be done by Robert Kistner here in El Paso.
In general, will any of the services that you propose have to be subcontracted?
Not that we know of.
No.
Not based on what was in the RFQ.
Including the drilling?
We have our own drill rigs.
Yeah, we have our own drill rigs.
Including the geothermal possibility of drilling the deeper wells?
We can drill to about 100, 150 feet.
Thank you.
Question two. Please elaborate on the equipment that your company owns and operates and how this distinguishes your ability to provide exceptional service. What, if any, equipment will need to be purchased or leased by your company to render the services the vendor proposes to provide?
First of all, we have two CMA drill rigs, so truck-mounted drill rigs that can drill to 100, 150 feet routinely. Those are based here in El Paso, so those are under our scheduling and supervision. So if we need a job drilled, we can drill tomorrow if need be. As to what do we need to purchase, we own both of those rigs. We own all the equipment that's in our lab, our fleet of trucks, our testing equipment. I can't think of anything that we need to purchase to do the services that are needed.
If I could just add to that, on the handout we've given you just now, if you go to the first page, the third bullet talks about our drilling, our equipment.
I didn't see that.
And then actually, you go on to the third page, you actually can see you're showing a Google map of the sites we drilled with our own equipment and in proximity to your P-8 combo school. And then even the next page, a little bit more information about the project. But all those services can be done in-house. So the beauty of that is we can handle multiple projects simultaneously with our own in-house resources.
And our driller's got, well, the most experience. He's got 33 years of experience. And I think that's one of your next questions, so we can leave.
Moving on to number three there. Describe the proposed personnel that will be in the field. What are each of their qualifications? And how many years' experience do they have?
All right, Manny Duenas is our drilling supervisor. He's got over 33 years of experience drilling. He's based here in El Paso. He's been here with our firm since January 1st, 1979, when Robbie Kister came to town. So Robbie Kister's been here 33 years, and we have an employee that's been here that long as well. He's a New Mexico certified well driller. His experience is basically drilling in all types of situations. His son, Derek Duenas, has come up, and he's another one of our drillers. And Derek has got
6 years.
6 years of experience doing the drilling as well. And then we have EITs that go out and log and take the measurements and take the soil descriptions and things like that. We have three professional engineers on our staff, John, myself, and Ivan Avalar. Is on staff as well, and a short bio is on the pages in front of you, as well as our resumes are in the packet.
Thank you.
Describe your process for assembling and disseminating data in a timely manner to the interested parties, and where is your lab located?
Okay, two things. One, our lab is located off of Hawkins, so it's here in El Paso. We have a combination of different methods for getting reports out to our clients and stakeholders, depending on whether it's a geotech investigation, whether it's construction materials testing, special inspections, or some type of specialty consulting report. We have a system called ARCUS, is what we call it, but it's basically a computer database that we take all of the construction materials testing that the individuals do in the field. We put that into a computer, and that's accessible by the web, and we can give you an access code to that, as well as we can just take right from that program, we can just PDF and email you, provided you give us an email, the distribution list of whoever you want on that distribution list, and that can be a daily basis, that can be a weekly basis, or we can compile them into a monthly basis. We just basically just toggle whatever level of reports you want and send it to you. With regard to the geotech reports, we put those together in a PDF, and the engineers will just distribute that to the project team when it's completed and signed and sealed. And then special inspection reports and things like that, we'll compile and do the same type of thing with a PDF or such through our ARCUS system.
President, can I ask a clarifying question?
Go ahead. In regards to your question.
Number three. The question says in the field, and I just wanted to know your proposed personnel in the lab regarding materials testing.
Oh, we've got, well, we have as few as two and as many as we need to. Beto Silva in the lab has worked in our lab for 10 years or more. He's a certified individual in ACI, core multiple, I mean, he's got like six certifications. So we have certified people in our lab. We have people that do our masonry and concrete beams, our ACI strength level tested individuals. And then, you know, we've got people that are certified in fireproofing and different activities there. Beto is also certified in asphalt for TxDOT and New Mexico.
Thank you very much.
Was that it?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Was that, were you done with the response to question number four?
If I could add to that last question on the Robert Kistner informational system, it's a database. Like right now, if you had the access code, you could see all the reports on your project. And as the project manager, we could provide statistical analysis, tell you how you're trending on your breaks and concrete to see where you have potential future issues. We catch that ahead of time by doing statistical analysis. And that's the benefit we can offer the district.
Mm-hmm. We also do that on concrete as well as compaction testing. You know, if you got a large earthwork job, instead of going through every single daily report for the densities, I can just grab that system, put the entire, every density we've ever run for your project on one Excel spreadsheet. We can sort it by date, by project number, by failing tests, non-failing tests. We can sort it, you know, any way you want, just about. You know, we do that on like the levees. Instead of sorting it by date, we sort it by station, so they can see, hey, every 100 feet they've got density tests.
Thank you.
So going to the last question, question number five, please discuss your work experience and if any with the Canotillo Independent School District.
Josh, I guess, let me start that. We've done work with Canotillo Independent School District for many years, not only geotechnical and construction materials testing, but environmental, even facilities, roofing. So kind of done a lot of services and kind of think about us as like a building doctor from the foundation up to the top. I think, you know, I can report from the projects I've been involved with, it's been a very great relationship. When you all call me, I'm usually there or can respond pretty quickly within an hour or two to notice. So I think our performance has been pretty solid. We look forward to staying on board with you all and doing more work in the future.
And our engineers, I've got 20-plus years of experience, 20 years of experience not only in the geotechnical arena, the construction materials testing arena. I've got a lot of experience in special inspections, project management. Both John and I are project management professionals. We have our PMP certification. I think we're the only firm that has two.
We're the only geotech firm that has two project management professionals by credentials through training and passing the exam.
I've got my master's degree in geotechnical engineering. Ivan Avalar has got his master's degree in geotechnical engineering. So, you know, we have education, experience in multiple different venues of construction and design.
Thank you.
Any clarifying questions from the board?
Tie-dye.
Just say you went to the paintball course and
you got out.
Love that.
You got shot.
That's so good.
I was remembering why I don't buy those pens anymore.
What kind was it, sir?
What's those?
Gel pens.
Like that? They're my favorite.
That's why I never put it in my shirt. Right, I put really it here, nice. But I've ruined a pair of pants the same way.
I've ruined a pants
very
before.
Right, so nice.
Yeah, they're my favorite writers.
Well, these guys instill pads.
We're down to like papers now instead of pads.
Yes, sir. And this group is
Sunbelt.
Sunbelt.
Sounds like where we live.
We'll go into the executive session for the project owner. You can have more place.
Good evening, Damon Murphy, Superintendent King, Mark Breitnauer. Nice to meet you. Good evening, Mark Breitnauer. Mark,
is it fine?
Hey, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. Adrian Medina. Nice to meet you.
Mark Breitnauer.
Hi, Mark. Nice stuff.
Thank you.
Mr. Breitnauer is with Sunbelt Laboratories.
Do you have any handouts for the board or
no?
Okay.
Well, thank you.
again. I'm Dr. Murphy, as I said, Superintendent of Canyon Teal. We appreciate you coming in at this late hour. Our board works in the evening, and so
it's okay.
Thank you. We have a very regimented 15-minute interview. Mm-hmm. There's five questions in front of you. We'd ask that you not write on the tape sheet, but you have a pad in front of you to feel to do whatever you need. And we will ask the questions individually, one at a time, in order as we go through. But before, and we will give you a couple minutes to look over the questions while okay. we get ready. We'll start with introductions. And Ron?
My name's Ron Gatlin. I'm the purchasing agent. I do want you to know that all the board members do have a copy of the proposal you sent in. That's why we asked for so many copies, so they can see it. They're going to use the information in your proposal and the questions that you answer today for their evaluation.
Okay.
And I'm Sergio Coronado, I'm a board member.
Commander Rodriguez, board president.
Adrian Medina, board member.
Thank you.
Pete Gonzalez, board member.
Rachel Quintana, board member.
Larry Searles, board member.
Mm-hmm. So take a couple minutes, look over the questions, let us know when you're ready.
Operate a soils and construction materials testing lab?
Yes, we do.
If so, what certifications and qualifications does your lab have?
We are AASHTO certified, we are CORE validated, and we also participate in a proficiency program both for soils, aggregates, asphalt, and concrete.
So I'm guessing that this service won't have to be subcontracted in that matter.
No, no, no.
In general, will any of the services that you propose have to be subcontracted?
The only one that would be subcontracted would be welding inspection. We do not have a certified welding inspector.
What about drilling?
I have my own drill rig.
Even for the geothermal tests, if possible, that would go deep?
I don't have the geothermal capabilities.
But so general drilling,
yes. General foundation drilling, I have that capability.
Thank you.
Question two, thank you. Please elaborate on the equipment that your company owns and operates and how this distinguishes your ability to provide exceptional service. What, if any, equipment will need to be purchased or leased by your company to render the services the vendor proposes to provide?
I have a fully functional materials testing lab. It's CORE validated and ASHTO and CCRL validated. They've been through our lab. So our equipment and our procedures are top notch. I have a drill rig, Dietrich D90. I can drill over 100 feet deep with no problem. I have the capability of doing that. I have five moisture density gauges, and I have four technicians, so I can more cover anything that comes up that way. Equipment that will be leased or purchased will depend on what services that you're looking for. I have the only thing that I'm looking at right now based on the RFQ would be welding inspection. I don't have any of the, you know, the dye penetrants or any of the mag particle equipment. I used to, but I don't have it anymore. I've certified two people in El Paso. They don't work for me anymore.
Thank you.
Number three, describe the proposed personnel that will be in the field. What are each of their qualifications? And how many years' experience do they have?
I have four technicians, field technicians. The one that's been with us the one with most experience has 24 years experience in this field. The other one has 7, 3, and one is, he's only got 1 year of experience, but he's a graduate engineer. So he's training. So they're more than capable of seeing all sorts of the field operations and being able to cover any situation that comes up.
And in the lab?
I have one laboratory person, and one of my technicians also oversees the lab, so he has a dual role. But we try to do a training program. We try to get young people in. So, you know, one of my guys is, you know, he's got less than a year, but, you know, you have to start somewhere. So we want to bring him in and bring him up and move him. So we have a very good training program. So I spend a lot of time and effort for people who want to come into this field.
Describe your process for assembling and disseminating data in a timely manner to the interested parties, and where is your lab located?
My lab is located over on Pelicano and Trevino, over by Bull, El Paso. For the past 10 years, we have run, our goal is to get our reports in and out in less than 3 days for all our field work. Our laboratory work depends on the number of tests that we have to run on that. You know, working with the Corps of Engineers, they have a very tight time frame, so we have to give them the information very quickly. So we strive to do that to all our clients. And if there, anything does come up, we communicate immediately. So if there's a problem that's happened out in the field, we let the project manager and the owner know right away.
Okay, and the last question. Question number 5, please discuss your work experience, and if any, with the Canutillo Independent School District.
I have not done a lot of work in recent years. I've been here 15 years. The company has done work with the Canutillo School District previously, but I've been with Sunbelt for 15 years, and I don't think I've done anything with y'all.
Any information on what was done prior to that?
I don't recall what that was. That was way before my time. I've done work with the El Paso, Isleta, Socorro, Clinton school districts. Tried to get it with the Anthony school district, but I've done a couple of things with them, but it's just been small additions.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for coming in. Thanks for the expedient interview.
Well, I wanted to get you guys home.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Pleasure.
Thank you very much. Nice.
Nice to meet you.
Thanks for coming on.
Ms. Searles, are you recommending the scoring in the same manner as the other one?
I thought it went good, huh, guys? Okay.
Yeah. So I guess the discussion, if anybody wants to go first, if not, I could just give out my synopsis real quick. I believe they're all qualified for the job. My top three would be NCON, LEC, and Robert Kissy. If we're talking about local, I'm tied between, well, both of them are pretty well, but LEC, their knowledge, their presentation, Robert Kistner is, of course, qualified as well. So those would be my top three. I don't know if anybody else wants to go and have some discussion, and then we could rate them, and then we could see where the consensus lies.
I was really impressed with starting to call him NCON. Income? I'm pretty sure they were minor.
But Lake was close. But I'm ready.
I guess I have a question with respect to Garcia and Alderete, because we're talking about this a little bit. The issues arising, is any of those here?
Let me give you some background for those who don't. When Garcia was done, the soil that was taken out from Garcia, at the same time we had a project going on at AMS to take out from where the current football field is. Okay. And in order to not have to pay for disposal of the dirt work of the dirt that we were taking out at AMS and disposal of the dirt that we were taking out at Garcia, mm-hmm. because there was clay issues over there for the foundation, so they had to dig out. We decided to trade soils of what was dug out from Garcia.
So it was in a soils testing firm that said switch them?
No, we just, the district decided to do that mm-hmm. in order to avoid having to pay for disposal of the...
Either
both places. So we traded soils.
There was no soils expert there to determine
that? Right. There was no...
Yeah, no, there was a soils expert at Garcia.
No,
who said, at Alderete?
Yeah, why did they
no.
do that?
What happened?
Well, at Alderete, they remember they were digging out to level out the yeah. area. Mm-hmm. That's what it was. It was just extra dirt. And that particular soil that was taken out
Rocky.
Was great with what we needed for the foundation at Garcia. Mm-hmm. So we decided to, transfer the soil so we don't have to pay. It saved us about $500,000.
And VMAC did the switch, correct?
Yes, VMAC did the switch of the soil. The soil was placed over at Alderete, and it was intended that was going to be playground or the football field. Mm-hmm. But it was anticipated we were going to do grass. It was never intended...
Artificial.
Yeah. A couple years later,
the students
themselves came to the board. We didn't have the money at that time to... do something, and they basically gave a presentation board telling us, hey, we want you to give us some kind of, we need it now, some kind of facilities outside for exercise, etc. They didn't have anything. All they had was a rock field. And so the board at that time decided to use interest from the bond projects at that time and divert it to giving Alderete the field. Mm-hmm. And it was then... determined that we wanted to go with a turf field. There was, so it had been there for some time, the soil already, mm-hmm. but obviously not enough time. Before the turf was installed, there were some borings done, but not sufficient borings. And the problem was
not enough.
Points.
Not enough.
No, not deep enough. Deep not deep. Enough.
Oh, I think they did both.
Three.
Yeah.
Three.
And the problem was, is the soil was placed all over mm-hmm. that field. It has, and there was only subsistence as part of it. Mm-hmm. The problem was is that historically there was an arroyo that ran through the field. Mm-hmm. So the place where the subsidence occurred was where the arroyo occurred, where the previous historical arroyo was.
Oh, wow.
Okay. So the soil in the rest of the field is the same as it was with Brockwood Garcia. Mm-hmm. And in some of those areas, it didn't subside.
Okay.
So
neither none of these firms were involved in any of these suggestions right now.
No.
Okay, good.
And I think the problem was is that we probably didn't order enough borings, and that we should have covered the entire area.
Should have had a soils tester.
We had one.
Oh, but just limited.
Limited.
Okay.
Yeah. That's what really the issue was.
What was the firm that actually worked on?
I don't recall who did the soils testing back
that
then.
That seems to be a bit of a mystery because they all point their fingers. Mm-hmm.
Well, the actual firm that was hired when.
User.
Not, I'm talking about the firm that actually did the geotesting before we placed
the field?
The field.
Well, that's what he's saying. I think they're all pointing fingers.
They said they did.
The initial feeling was that it was Robert Kistner, but Robert Kistner has written us a formal letter saying that it was not them.
We have no record of it, of course.
But we...
We should have record.
I know.
I have not seen a record that shows who actually is responsible. And we fixed it, of course, with bond money. It cost us $200,000. And it is now fixed, and we're happy with that. But it was a problem for several years.
I guess going back to, I guess, what we're here for, the CQC and Sunbelt, really, not even there. I think the three for me would probably be, I really like LEC, followed by NCON, and third is Robert Kistner.
My feeling is that those are obviously the top three.
Mm-hmm. I'm just concerned as to who actually did the soils testing, and if they're holding back information, then that counts against them. If it's either of those three, then they're completely off the choosing completely. And so, you know what, if NCON did it or LEC did it, then they should be not even considered in this, if they're not being forthright.
Was the only one who didn't seem to have any possibility of the dolphin fight NCON?
God bless you.
Was it NCON?
God bless you. No, they're the ones who seemed, after reading their book, bless you.
I'm not doing so hot. That's why.
That they were the only ones who there didn't seem like there could be an issue with them, is what I'm trying. That, you know what Dr. Murphy's saying, that everybody's doing this, that they can't even have a finger.
Mm-hmm. Like I did, I think, did the remediation process with fixing.
Leg fixed.
Yeah, that's what it has right there.
That's what he was doing. Okay.
Yeah,
Leg fixed.
Now, Leg said they had nothing to do with the problem. They were brought in after for the fix.
There you go, yeah.
For the
but
fix.
But they...
I wonder who did it. I'd love to know if it's possible to see if we can find in that.
Leck, from my understanding, did the soils testing at Garcia, mm-hmm. but they weren't doing it at AMS.
Fix, aren't they the fixers?
They did the fix.
Okay.
They did 2012, which was
okay,
this year.
Okay, they're the fixers.
Yeah, they're the ones that fixed.
But look
them.
At the Gonzalo Garcia one. They did 2007. So they suggested a certain aggregate. Yusuf probably just said, well, we got aggregate over here. Let's just switch them.
So
using VMAC as the conduit, so to speak.
They might be involved a little bit.
Yeah. I'd like to, I personally think that somebody's not telling us. I mean, these are the top geotech firms. One of these must have done it. I just don't feel comfortable awarding to any of them right at this point unless we know who did it. Just because they need to be forthright.
Did you not see in their resumes where Sunbelt and Con were the only two out of all of them mm-hmm. that didn't mix up their people. These people had worked here, then worked here, and then
they
worked
go back
here.
To the other one.
Uh-huh. That all the people had worked somehow.
Elsewhere.
Well, no, together mm-hmm. at some point. At some point. Not NCON, not Sunbelt.
I think Mr. The was it the mention?
Leck?
No, that's Mr. No, no. I'm
just
with the first one.
Yeah.
Oh, you know.
You're with Mr. Lincoln.
Mr. Memo.
I like NCON and LEC.
I'm NCON.
I'm NCON for it. NCON for my first.
And I like the LEC's presentation
mm-hmm.
a little bit better.
Like
but to me, they're pretty closely tied with NCON. I mean, in terms of their
services.
I think LECs have more comprehensive, but NCON does have something they can offer. Is they're a lot closer.
They seem to have all the equipment too.
Something. This is kind of simpleton. I don't mean to be a blonde. But in their write-up, they have this nice, I showed it to Rachel. I've never seen anybody else in all the people we've interviewed, and we all know we've interviewed a lot of them. They have name badges for all their employees, just like what we have. And everyone will, they set this out, that everyone will check in, everyone will check out, everyone will wear their name badges, everyone will be identified. I liked that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's small, it's simple.
But it's the simple things that matter.
But sometimes it's that little extra.
Well, that's actually a requirement of the bill. Yeah.
Nobody else wrote that in there. Not one other person.
Really, that's a requirement?
Yeah, and that's the only one that had it on
there. Wow.
It is the only one who came forward with it. I didn't even know it was a requirement, Ron, but I noticed that in there.
Right. Anybody doing work on a school district property, they have to go through the background checks, and they have to be badged. And
yeah, well, these people, apparently that's standard operating procedure for them.
Yeah, it's here under provide a statement that criminal background checks have been conducted or will be conducted prior to start of services on all employees who will be working on the account. The district requires all workers on site to have a company badge and to sign in at each facility where they're performing work. And a state level background check must be completed with the sex offender and fingerprinting data. That's so all of our bids.
If you all want to fill out the summary worksheets, we could. Did you get the other ones already?
Yes, I have them right here.
Okay. Do you have the total? And then that way when we go out.
Well, there's not a total, but there's the ring. Everybody ring.
That's a total ring from everybody. Laurie, put your
prints right here.
So do we have unanimity or? We have unanimity as we're picking, or are we just letting everyone?
Oh, we're going to see the totals and then
okay.
See what comes out.
What comes out. Make sure you sign and date your form, please.
Why do you put a date on mine?
Damn it.
How do you put a date on mine?
Now we'll just put the what we have on record from the total, and then I guess we're ready to go up to the top.
And can I get Letty's back up? Letty's no, not Letty. Rachel. Rachel didn't date her.
The first one?
No, the second one.
So you'll leave this here, Mondo?
It's later.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's fine. You're right. It is date. You're fine, Rachel.
But
can you compile very quickly once you come to the table?
Run.
Yes.
One is our number one show. Mine, one, two is black.
Right. Right. Did you rank by the
way? Thank you. Yes. Rachel, is this yours too?
Okay. There you go. Who's got?
I got him.
You're picking him up?
Search date.
Tony, if you could bring us to the next agenda item.
Do you want to do the new business 6A?
Yes.
Can you consider approval of firm for RFP 1306, Geotech, and Soils?
And just real quick, I'd like Mr. Gatlin, if you could, can we do 6B? You want to, are we ready for 6A?
Ready.
Okay, can you just put in to record the totals from all?
Okay, the way you ranked it, we added up the totals, so actually the lower score would be like the way you ranked the lowest, would be the number one ranking, okay? We're doing 06 right now?
Yes.
Which is?
Geotech and soils testing.
Okay. CQC had a total score of 25, and Con International had a total score of 8, LEC had a total score of 11, Robert Kistner 18, and Sunbelt 25. So that comes with a ranking would be NCON International would be ranked number one. Number two would be LEC. Number three would be Robert Kistner and CQC and Sunbelt Laboratories tied for fourth.
Okay. Seeing that information, do I have a motion for RFQ 13-06 Geotech and Soils Testing?
This is to enter into contract.
Yeah. And please make sure it's a motion that says entering into contract negotiations with whatever party has chosen.
I move for the administration to enter into contract negotiations for RFQ 1306 Geotech and Soils with NCON International.
I'll second that.
Through the chair?
No.
Through the chair?
Yes.
Do we also need to add in the motion construction materials testing?
It's pretty much the RFQ 13-06, so it's included in there.
All right.
I was requested. So I have a motion and a second. Can I hold the board, Tony?
Mr.
Coronado?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mr. Molina?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Searles?
Yes.
Okay, that will take us to next agenda item.
Item B, consider approval of firm for RFQ 1307 for surveying.
Okay, and can you please put in to the record the ranking?
Okay, the ranking that the board came up with is FXSA had a ranking score of 12, Landmark Professional Surveying had a score of 18, and SLI had a score of 6. So the ranking would come out as SLI Inc. number 1, FXSA number 2, and Landmark is number 3.
Okay, hearing that, do I have a motion to enter into contract negotiations?
I move to enter into contract negotiations on RFQ 13-07 for surveying with SLI. And are they SLI Engineering?
SLI Inc.
SLI Inc.
And I'll second that.
Okay, I got a motion and a second. Is there any discussion on this item? If not, can we pull the board?
Mr. Carmel?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mr. Medina?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Charles?
Yes.
Y'all, that will take us to the next item.
Item 3 is executive session, and the meeting is to be closed under Texas Government Code 551074 for discussion of personnel matters regarding the bond project manager position.
Okay,
and the time is now 10:11 p.m.
Okay, and I would ask if we could get a 5-minute recess, just, and then we'll start in 5 minutes if that's okay with the board.
President, will you want Martha Carrasco in there?
I believe so.
To give the information?
Yes.
At that point.
So what are we going to do in the recess?
You all could wait. I'm just going
to. I need to go potty.
I need to go potty.
Stop. Playground.